You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again. It's 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night in Central Phoenix. You are live with Q-Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. It's the show with me. And surrounding our lovely conference room table this week, a guy who thinks the sexual tension week in and week out on Hawaii Five-0 is just too much.
Yes.
It's Buddy Early.
It's a Sam and Diane thing they've got going
between
there.
Between which characters? How's the microphone work?
Dano and McGarrett.
Oh, really?
Yeah, going at it. And
is one of them Asian? Is one of them my boyfriend from France?
No, I like him. He's on the show, but I've always liked him.
Jin, yeah.
Yes.
Also on our table this week, a woman and a mother who's both scared and excited to be with us. It's Katie June.
That's a true story. A woman and mother, Ms. L.
But I ripped this from your status updates on Facebook.
Well, listen, after listening to the show, I had a little trepidation, if you will.
Just for your liver. Don't worry.
And finally, a man who secretly pities people who eat white bread. It's Al Perkins.
Yeah, I know. I looked. I checked.
I do, too. That's sad.
I see Wonder Bread in a shopping cart, and I think, why?
I don't know. I don't understand it either. Didn't originally that the way they sold that originally was like it was all health and good for you? Like that was the wonder of Wonder Bread? It was all full of vitamins?
I think they're just trying to find the whitest thing for the whitest people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it makes sense, bigger? Though.
Adjust it up towards you.
Sold it with a pack of Marlboro Reds, and they're like, healthy choice.
Exactly.
It's a duo.
You can turn it.
I don't get this fucking thing.
Technical difficulties already.
No, it's not really technical. Not that bad.
All right, well, you can just keep going.
I have a question. I'm still trying to decide or figure out if last week's show was a high point or a low point in our...
I think it went in both directions. It was the bisexual of shows.
Well, does that exist?
Ways. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an interesting... I don't remember much of it. But anyway...
and the listeners could tell.
I listened back to that show, and I was like, when did that happen?
the best part about it, though, was that you was that for like 20 minutes as I listened back, and I think that night I was like, oh my God, he's turned into the fucking Cookie Monster. And then someone calls you out on it. Someone actually says, you're like, rah, 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 rah. Like, you chewed through those things like you were trying to get to sunlight. Like,
oh, I think my contention still is, yes, there was the liquor. Then there was the sugar high. But it was just the fact that we were done. We were in the studio. I had just...
It was exciting.
I released everything at that point.
It's like when you get when you move into a new house and you get trashed that first day because you're in. You're finally relaxed.
Right.
And somebody throws a bottle of champagne on top of a bottle of Crown.
Crown Royal. Yeah. I did a good job.
And then the second night, you get drunk again because you're familiar with it. Routine. And then the third night...
You got to get straight alcoholic. Yeah, the third night, you say, I might just be an alcoholic.
I drink too much. You're nursing off.
No one judges.
Never has a second cup at home. No.
No.
My heaven's sake. So as we normally do, Katie, and I will just clue you in as you are new to our board. By the way, Marnie Reiner has not... Reiner. I always do that. Why is Marnie Reiner has not left the show? She actually is on vacation and is flying back in as we speak, but could not be here for the show. So this week and possibly next, Katie June is going to grace us with her
if we don't offend her too much.
Well,
offended me last week. Yeah. I listened in, and I'm still here.
That is not hard to do.
Well, I ran into her this weekend at Rainbow's Festival, and she made a comment about being on the show, and I'm like, well, as it so happens, it would be great if you could fill in, la, 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 la. And so I immediately tried to get her to commit for the 2 weeks. She's like, well, no, let's see how one goes.
That's how we got Buddy. Buddy thought this was
a
dummy.
I'm no dummy.
Yeah. No. So we usually go around the table as we do every week and catch up. So, Buddy, what's up? What you been doing?
Well, as usual, this has been a whirlwind week of activities in the life of Buddy Early.
A whirlwind.
You know what? Here's the funny thing. This is the funny thing. As I kind of have mentioned before, this is the first year, 2012, the first year since 1997 that I haven't been working, quote, in the community with some organization, business, whatever. And so this is the first year I've had the opportunity to go to Pride festivals and just go and not have any responsibilities.
Oh.
and I have not made it to either Pride or Rainbows this year. I didn't make it out to either. And with Pride, it was fucking hot as so
right.
sun.
Right.
And I don't know why I didn't make it to Rainbows this weekend. I think just
did
because
you forget?
I missed the window of opportunity with people who are like, hey, we're meeting up at Tico's in 15 minutes and we're heading over, and it wasn't good. And then the next day, it was like I didn't know anybody. Okay, nobody invited me. But it was fine.
Nobody invited me.
I invited you,
but then I fell asleep. I stayed asleep. Yeah, I told you I would get a hold of you and we would go together. Oh. And what I meant by that is I'm going to stay in bed till about 5 o'clock, and then I'm going to watch TV.
So that sounds like what I did.
Wait, wasn't that your story last week?
Did you disco nap through another
party?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm just guilty. I'm the one that gets dressed and tells people, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes, but I'm just going to sit on the couch for 5 minutes.
Turn on SVU. So he knows that excuse is going to play well with me.
The very first five.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I did instead was what I normally do, which is go to movies. And again, I'm really getting fond of this coming out of one movie theater and going into the next. It's a lot of fun.
I think that's illegal.
No, it's not. I checked.
You checked.
But I saw. So I
frowned
saw a couple
upon
movies.
At least.
Right. I just frowned upon. Yeah. What are they gonna do? I'm a big guy. I'm just saying. I saw Pitch Perfect, which I know you saw, and it was very entertaining.
We're
going to
spend a lot of time on that movie.
Oh, my God, don't give it away.
No, what's there to give away? It's a formulaic.
It's Pitch Perfect. The title says it all. It's all you need.
I mean, says it all.
There's nothing to give away. It's everything you would expect.
I hope it's so good.
It's very, very funny.
I can't wait.
I wasn't expecting the funny part of it to come off that well. And I haven't seen a movie in a theater with people in a long time because I usually go with the last show on Monday nights. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's usually me alone watching a movie.
It's good.
And I'm like, oh, this is a big living room. And but this time the theater was full and everyone was like laughing. People applauded after one of the numbers, which I love when people do that in theaters. I love when people
But
clap.
You were, you know, I think you may have mentioned Anna Kendrick on Facebook. And I just love her.
And I've been following this girl since she was a child.
Isn't
we did her in drag in the BS West Halloween show.
Yeah,
we did her.
I was there for that.
We did her in drag in 1999.
What was she doing in 1999?
She was in the Leading Ladies of Broadway, my favorite Broadway, The Leading Ladies. Oh. And she, with the girls from Cabaret and the Kit Kat Club, do Life Upon the Wicked Stage. She's this charming, she's the second youngest Tony nominee ever.
Wow.
She was in High Society. And
then you may know her from camp.
And then she was in camp, and she was fantastic.
I did not. Do you want to know the first time I knew about her was in that movie with the airplanes?
Up in the Air.
Up in the Air. That's the first time.
Have you seen Camp?
I have not.
Okay, you'll see it. She's
Are you a theater girl? Do you enjoy the theater?
Yes, I love
theater. There are so many inside theater jokes in that movie that just go on and on.
I'll do it.
Go ahead.
But we're going to talk about it. I think we're talking about it later. But then I went out, and I saw Looper, which I know you saw, too. I wasn't that crazy about it. I got to be honest. I found myself like losing interest, and I'd be like, "Oh my god, I'm watching a movie. I need to pay attention." I lost interest a couple of times.
Didn't he look like Jimmy Kimmel?
But here's the best part. No, I didn't think so.
Okay.
Here's the best part, and I'm not going to give anything away. But when it's over, the woman behind me says, "Is that it?" Now, if you've seen the movie, what else was she expecting? You know how a lot of movies they'll leave it hanging, and people are like, "Wait, what happened?"
It's stinky.
There's no...
the screen goes black as Selma and Louise head flip. Yeah.
Trust me, they resolve it.
Yeah, that movie was
finished.
And
she's like, is that it? And I just wanted to say, what else is there to do in this movie, lady?
Did you want a 9-year saga of the child? Like, what the fuck are you looking for?
I don't even know what Looper is.
It's Joseph. Well, look, you're fit in for Marnie Wells. She always says about She says
or
it about
me,
every movie we bring up.
I'm telling you,
it's
not a movie.
Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's by the guy that directed the movie Brick, which is a really, really fun...
Definitely losing me there.
Okay, there's a little...
Still got nothing.
From like 2005, 2006, there's a little film noir about a high school.
Okay.
Where a nerdy kid is looking for what happened to his missing girlfriend, but it's all done film noir. Like, it's all like...
Okay.
Straight out of the 40s, the dialogue
That's
is
very
like...
very cool.
Hey, Joe. Like, they're, I mean, they're just... It's really fucked up good.
Okay. Yeah, hey.
And all these like twisty... Everybody's like a serial killer, but they're all in high school. So they're... It's very fun.
And that's Brick.
That's
Brick. Not Looper.
And now this guy wrote this part especially for Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Oh. So he wrote this movie just for him.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Include back in.
So that was my week. That brings us to now, which has me eyeing that bag of little mounds candy bars.
There we go. Get those for you.
I appreciate it.
These the damn
you guys don't want
the Halloween candies just were screaming my name as I went went out today, so I grabbed a couple things. My mom will be happy because she loves Mounds, the dark chocolate.
My mom loves Mounds. Loves she got that. Me turned on them.
There's that. So Katie June, though, hi. I realize we don't have last week to refer to as what your itinerary was going to be.
True.
What's new in your life? I saw you and your daughter at Rainbows Festival.
We went to Rainbows, so that's exciting. It's a very different experience as well, right? So I've always come from the, always working, doing something.
Like used to work for Sway Events.
Used to work for Sway Events. Right. And I was thinking back to a couple of Rainbows Festivals ago when I was there. We had done the big party at Cobalt the night before. And I spent the entire Rainbows. And thank God we were positioned directly across from the bathroom.
Oh.
I was like sweating and just like hung over. And every 5 minutes I was like, I'll be right back. And it was a much different experience this
year. Not throwing up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Not throwing up with my daughter. It was fun. It's nice to be able to take her to those things.
It's very different when you're not, like Buddy just was saying, when you're so used to working in it.
Yes.
And to go to an event where you're not, pardon me, because I never do anything, well, this year I did one small thing, but for Rainbows Festival, I never commit to doing anything. Whereas
right.
Pride, for years I've always done it, so you go there in a different capacity.
It's almost like I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I'm like twiddling my thumbs. Yeah. This year I was like, I had like a margarita instead
Ooh,
of, nice. Oh, I need more drinks. You know, I bought 2 drink tickets.
Oh.
So I felt like a mom. That's really, I was like, my sister went with me and she even said at one point, you're walking like a mom. And I had to go, oh my God, what? And she's 22. She's cool. And she's a little lesbian. And so I had to like check myself. I'm like, well, what does that look like? What is looking like a mom? Walking like a mom.
Somebody could have taken a video and given it to you.
I know, right?
Probably she looks like Mitt Romney in those jeans I'm thinking.
I hope to God not.
But he buys at Costco because he loves Costco.
God, he's so bad. Corded,
yeah. So is that your wrap-up?
No, so I went to Rainbows. I went gluten-free and
I'm
going on a cruise all in a week. Went to Rainbows, booked a cruise, and I'm gluten-free.
So
one of the last 2 days.
These Mounds are not gluten-free?
I'm certain that they're
good,
not.
Good.
You can have all of them.
How about the Butterfingers over here?
No, and that's my weakness.
Oh, Butterfingers?
Oh, it's my favorite candy
And you live
bar.
So close to a Dairy Queen. I don't know how you not. I trust me, that drive-thru has a blizzard with my name
oh
on
my
it somewhere.
God,
I will just tell you that I'm sure Dairy Queen is working on something gluten-free. Because
I hope
that's
so.
Gotten so big that...
You know, it's so funny.
I think
funny.
Even Denny's has a gluten-free section now.
I told my friend Justin Unga that I was gluten-free, and he goes, I'm wondering what that is, and he Googles it and says, oh, right here, the top entry says, that stupid new diet that white rich people are doing.
It's a white woman like, problem, as I would say.
Stupid white rich girl diet.
Al, does this come up at the restaurant?
It does for a couple. And Tim is trying to be, maybe his dad. Somebody, somewhere in the Tim family, there's gluten-free is happening. I don't keep track of people's diet choices because I don't care. I just eat my
blank
bacon
blank.
And move on.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
It's fair.
About you.
That's fair.
But you know how when you're out at restaurants and somebody's like, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat this. I'm eating. So you figure out what you're doing.
Right.
Well, my partner does these. She's always like reading these dumb diet books. So we're currently gluten-free. So last week at this
but
time,
all good things about
we
it.
Were
like,
juicing
good,
exclusively.
Yeah.
Like she went out, she like read this thing about juicers. So she spent like $800 on a juicer, and then we juiced for like a week, and now we don't juice anymore. And then like two months before that, we were vegan. Like we went through our whole refrigerator, we cleaned everything out, and we went to Whole Foods, of course, and spent like hundreds of dollars.
Another $800.
Another.
Yeah.
And then you were living in poverty because that vegan diet.
And now we're back to eating McDonald's because that's all we can afford.
I ask people now, when somebody tells me, I'm on this diet, how long? If it's not 5 years, then we're eating where I want to eat.
Right.
You're going to go back to chicken, so shut up.
So awful. Yeah. It is horrible.
But the vegan thing, and Jason Carlson had the most famous line about that. He was like, I met this guy, and we went on a great date, and then he told me he was vegan, and I had to dump him. Because I'm not working that hard to go find a fucking restaurant. And somebody, I didn't know about the no milk thing.
I did that for a while.
Yeah, and no, I mean, but like they do it for like political reasons, like the Jersey cow. Like if you don't milk those fuckers, they're gonna die.
Yes.
That's right. So
what
we're
are you
saving
do?
Them.
Like,
we're
gonna
saving
pump
them.
And dump. Like
that's
what are you gonna
how
do?
I feel about the food chain. I just felt like you know what they
gotta
are
participate.
There. Yes,
right.
Thank you. And I'm at the top.
And Durant's has Durant's has a wonderful selection of the byproduct of the milk, which
yes.
is beef.
Yeah,
fantastic.
But the gluten free is a lot easier to do now because
there's so many
because celiac disease is so big. We talked about hyper hypersensitivities to allergies.
I don't remember.
Right.
Then that's one of the things that comes up. So the gluten
it's in
one,
my family, yeah, actually.
It is.
And so I may or may not be experiencing symptoms.
And you may notice a health change with it.
I hope that
one has some real benefits.
Yeah.
One of the anchors on a local radio station, she recently did that.
Carrie.
Yeah. And they all thought that she was bullshitting them from the standpoint that she kept saying that she felt better. And she stands by it. Yeah. It really made a big difference.
I have heard her talk about it.
So what time today did you start this diet? Because I don't know how
how much vodka do you have? I love when someone's on like a healthy diet, but they got a big bottle of vodka sitting in front of them.
It was on Sunday. And what I did on Sunday morning,
so
I decided.
3 days.
And on Sunday afternoon, I went to AJ's and looked up the first gluten-free beer. Because that was like the most panicky thing. Like, no more beer.
They had that on The View because Elizabeth Hasselbeck didn't talk about it for a long time. That's why she couldn't eat during food segments and liquor segments was because of gluten. And she has celiac disease.
Hers is
less of a choice, but she has the gluten-free diet books and stuff like that.
Oh my God, I need to get them.
Yeah, she's really good about that because she can't have it at all. But then she started telling people. So then the people that were on cooking shows would make stuff gluten-free for her. But for a long time, she would just stand there during cooking segments. It would make me laugh.
Pretty.
Like,
yeah. I don't eat. I could also just think she doesn't eat.
I just thought she was being a bitch.
Yeah. No, but everybody did. Yeah.
Well, at least you're not doing that thing that is one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is when people fake eat hamburgers for commercials, you know? Mm. If you've been an actor at all, you know like what it means to fake eat something, you know, for an ad or for a camera. And I hate that. I'm like, just put it in your mouth.
The Kardashians.
Or even,
Hilton,
even not just
you know,
a commercial, those just in a show.
Jr.
Where,
but on the Kardashians, as I recall from the video, she put it in her mouth. So I think that's...
She ate it up.
But like even on my...
she did.
Even on my stories, so you know, ways. One of the popular sets is a coffee shop. And you can tell there's never anything in that coffee.
Yeah, right. they at least have to put clear
fluid
in there.
Put something in it so they can drink something.
Right, it looks better. Mm. It looks more real. Al, let's move on to you. What
I was talking so already. Much, I assumed it was me.
He always does this, Katie. He always... He's thinking,
I heard.
Busy, I talk a lot. And I love how people are surprised. Like, they never met me before.
No.
Like,
yeah, no. Even deaf people know
Welcome.
He talks a lot.
Exactly. Busy week of works. Pitch Perfect snuck in. They called me in yesterday, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'll get there. I was like, I want to go see this fucking movie, and then I will come into work.
Oh, gotcha. Because I was texting you, Stan, and then I was kind of surprised you got called
in. So I was hoping to call them at 9 o'clock and be like, do you still need help? And they'd be like, no, someone else came in.
Somebody
Thanks
died.
For
We're
calling.
Good.
But they're like, yeah, come in. So I saw Pitch Perfect.
Horrible.
It was so much fun. Sunday, I watched this great show on Discovery called Plane Crash. Where they
took down the plane.
They took down the 727.
Yeah, in the desert.
And they remote controlled it.
Yes. That was very cool.
It was fascinating.
When that was on the news for the first time, I was like one of those people that was up in arms. You know, I was appalled. How could you do this? Remember, the story was out that they had purposely crashed a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
months ago.
Did you think somebody was really on it?
No.
Why were you mad?
I don't know. I think I jumped. I'm a bandwagoner.
Okay.
Hence the gluten-free diet.
If you
diet.
Can't tell from my vegan,
right,
only
okay, got it.
Right.
Whatever the latest infomercial tells her to do.
So I was totally, I'm a joiner. So I joined in like the outrage. But now I really want to see the show.
It's really interesting.
Cool.
And yeah. Pretty much you're going to die in a plane crash.
If you sit in the back of the plane, though, you're better off.
You are better in a type of crash, like a belly landing. And they did it at like 2,000 feet per second.
Yeah, so they took it down.
They took it down like a crash. Like they didn't try to land it. They actually like steered it down. It landed belly up. But the problem is the pilots got there like an hour and a half later because it was fantastic. It was like a Bruce Willis movie or somebody. the pilots parachuted out the back as they got to a certain point, and then the chase plane, the Cessna, remote controlled it. But it was like a toy remote control. It had two joysticks operate a 727, which was... I was expecting it to be a smaller plane. The 727.
That's a big plane.
It looked the same size as a 737 to my untrained eye. We had like 30 some rows, two by three, but they put test dummies in. They put low tech dummies in.
My gosh.
They had all these cameras. And they're like, but if the plane blows up, everything blows up with it. So it has to crash. It can't start on fire, and it had fuel. So they were like, it has to go through all these different things. But the pilots like had to drive back to it and see it. And when it landed, the landing gear on the front buckled, and the cockpit went into the ground, and then the plane ran it over.
Right.
And they showed the cockpit afterwards, and the pilots are just standing there looking at it, and they're like, we know we die in a crash. Like, we're fairly confident that any way this plane crashes except for in reverse, we're going down.
Because you're saying if it lands on the belly, then they're really screwed. But what if it's going like straight down?
Oh, then they, I mean, then they did, yeah.
Everyone's just like,
one of the things
you
that
get
I...
to find out what your teeth feel like in the back of your head. Yeah. But it was fascinating to watch, and they did the G-force of every aisle, and all of first class died.
Oh
this
my god! Because I pay to upgrade to first class. Oh, no more.
No,
no. No. People on the park your ass in the back of that kid
of
yours.
Pretty good, but they did really cool stuff. They put grease paint on the dummy's head so they could see where the dummy's
head. Oh god!
And the person that didn't brace lived. They probably had a concussion. They figured. But lived, but then a piece of debris, like all the overhead,
I'm gonna cry, like
all the
hit the shoulder,
immediately.
Yeah, hit the shoulder, but like impaled him.
Yeah.
Then they were like, "Well, this guy's dead from like 100 different things," and the one that braced and put his head down probably had a shattered ankle.
But they said you were better to brace.
Yeah,
you were better to brace.
And
right.
Only if you're in the back of the plane.
No, no, no. Well, this was, then you're this just was... dead. Then party. If you're in the front, just get the extra shot of vodka.
Right, you go.
Miami, the one thing,
what they did say though, were things that are
say a prayer, take a shot.
Things that were made to break away did, like the landing gear under the wings broke away and did what it was supposed to do. Those kind of things did work, like they were designed. But they also made a comment that they were, and I never thought about this. One of the things that they said was so bad because when that crashes, you know, all of the luggage racks and all that other shit kind of breaks up. The cabling was a fucking nightmare because all that cable you can't get out.
Yeah, they were like,
they never thought
they
about
were like
that.
Tied up, and then the one thing they didn't factor in was that there was no overhead luggage flying, so like everything came
there
down. But
wasn't.
What they should have done is loaded the plane with luggage
to let you find out
how many of those crash test dummies got killed by a
head by a laptop bag.
Right,
because my friend Harrison travels with this 1950s makeup case that's like solid
Harrison,
steel.
Knock it off.
Yeah, exactly. Because now I'm thinking you're just killing people.
Yeah, put that shit under your feet.
It's attempted murder.
Exactly.
When you see her on a plane, please remind her attempted murder. Clayton McKee, what have you done?
Well, I had we already talked a little bit about Rainbows Festival. One of the things that I was involved in this time, because I've done so many different pageants over the years of judging, you know, America's system and so forth, they did something new this year with Rainbows Festival where they have they have Mr. and Mrs. Gay Pride. They always had those every year. Anyway, so now
are they married currently? Or?
No, because you're not
literally counseling.
Pre-marriage counseling.
Since one is a man and one is a woman, they actually legally could get married in this state.
But don't.
I was asked many months ago to judge the junior Miss and Mr. Gay Pride.
Oh.
So it was the kids that are part of.
Now, come on. Did they ask you, or did you force your way through the door?
No, I got an official email. From
I've got my judgy pants on.
Jimmy, okay, you're taking this totally where I wasn't.
I know, let me grist here.
Well, so somebody has to.
Jimmy Munoz, a partner of Michael Weekly, actually sent me an email, asked me to participate in this. It was very interesting to see because these are kids that are part of the 1 in 10 program that are they wanted to perform, and you know obviously some of them may have been in like in drama classes or whatever in school.
Some of them.
I'm not sure. All of them. You could tell. Some of them, it was their first time. Some of them, it was
just going to play the odds.
It was their first time on stage. You could tell from some of them. But others, obviously, if somebody has a talent, you can see it straight up out of the box. So this, the Halia O'Day won for Ms. and Justin Case won for Mr. I've seen Justin Case over the years around before because he is the daughter. Son, whatever, a friend of mine, Michelle Bosch.
Offspring.
Yeah, let's just
there you
that.
Go.
The child.
So they won. It was very Halle O'Day.
Gender neutral.
Halle O'Day sang live, and literally, wow. I was on the panel of judges along with Richie Black, and we stood up and gave a standing O because it was amazing. The voice that just fell out of
Richie
that
Black.
Voice. Yeah, it was the voice came out of this. Halle O'Day was fantastic. So that was cool.
So good.
And on that esteemed panel was also the first lady of what did you do? The first lady of Phoenix was on the panel of judges with us.
Yes,
Nicole Stanton was right there on the end of the table.
Wonderful
to talk to her again. I haven't seen her since the Pride Gala that I hosted some months back, so I hadn't seen her. It was nice to see her as well.
Kids.
So that was very cool. I DJ'd the 12th annual Charlie's Pussy La Hoot and Friends Columbus Day show, which they always make spaghetti because it's Italian.
It feels like Columbus Day's been around longer than 12 years.
No. It was just the 12th time that she'd done a day.
probably, at least 20.
Yeah. It feels familiar.
Though in 1492 he discovered it. When did they actually make Columbus? When did Hallmark decide?
I know when they stopped it. Yeah,
exactly. So did that. Also, I want to give a shout out and a happy birthday to my neighbor across the street. B turned 70 yesterday.
Oh, hello, B.
So she listens to the show as well. And
hi, B.
Also, oh. I'm surprised you haven't made fun of the new trailer that I.
The baby on board?
Is that on your list?
I'm just waiting for that thing to take a tumble and take you down.
That is yours?
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah. He puts a cooler with organs in the
yes,
back.
No, no. I inherited this trailer for free, and what I'm trying to do is...
Stole it.
No. B gave it to me. My neighbor gave it to me because
she's still alive.
No, I know.
You can't take the things off the wheel yet.
No.
She doesn't listen, does she? Because it's kind of horrible.
She does listen.
Okay, I'm sorry, B.
No, she listens.
That was send your letters to Al.
Courtesy of Q-Talk America. No, she gave it to me because I was trying to figure out ways, because normally what I have to do is I have to make a trip in my vehicle to bring the cooler here earlier in the day. Then I leave the cooler here and then I have to make another trip back the next day.
That's
so,
a pain.
So what my theory was...
He lives 3 blocks from here. Before we turn this into some kind of production, I can see his house.
Up the hill, but
it's not the long walk home.
The thought of this was when we were further away. How come I'm always made out to be the dumbass in these shows?
No. I know.
But anyway, so now I can make one trip to the studio on broadcast day with the cooler, with other shit, and then I can leave with it.
I just can't wait till the trailer gets bigger and bigger.
Okay, good. We could.
Like, that's going to be a horse and buggy with your... With your little Amish sign.
I'm looking for that.
You
for
reminded
child,
me.
No, not for my cooler.
You reminded me to do a couple of very quick shout outs. One to my friend Jose, who's moving to Milwaukee tomorrow.
On purpose?
Yeah,
on purpose,
for a job.
Really? Okay.
And also,
he's going to see the sights of Laverne and Shirley.
Haas and Pfeff Incorporated.
And also to our friends, Tamara Williams and Brandy Sokolowski,
yes,
who are celebrating 5 years together today.
Gosh, has it been five years?
And is there
Is there
a couple that you just like, yes, I'm so glad they're together?
Yeah.
They're so awesome.
I was just talking to Brandy when I got to the studio today. She called me from... They're driving home and she
Sedona.
Called... Sedona. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I called her. She sent me a text. Yeah, they went to Sedona for the day after Rainbows.
And so. Good. And I think Brandy was having a massage.
May have been.
Much deserved.
And she called you during her massage?
No, she texted me. Oh, okay. She sent me a text.
Oh, she's like, oh my God, this massage is so good.
No.
Only thing better. Oh, it's talking to you.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I just got a text message from my cousin in Missouri. He's listening to our show while flying. Oh. That's interesting.
But not getting a massage.
Oh my gosh.
No.
And also, don't listen to that first segment. You're in a plane. Or do listen.
And change seats. And ma'am, 38B, would you click? Would you care to switch with
him? He's a private pilot, so he's flying little jets around, not the big ones.
Oh, he doesn't want to hear it the first part.
No.
This is
an awkward moment.
So, hello, Mike Bentley out there flying around somewhere. I'm not sure where he is.
I just thought, a little Patsy
in.
Cline might cheer him up.
Right.
You never know.
As long as he's not flying Reba's band around.
Gallows humor.
Oh, my gosh. I just heard that story for the very first time.
Patsy Cline is dead.
No,
still dead.
About Reba. I had no idea.
What about her?
Her whole band.
Yes.
Oh, would you want to hear my conspiracy theory?
That's what the song for My Broken Heart's about.
I just discovered that like last
week. I thought Broken Wing was about that. Is that not the same person?
Not different.
I'm sorry.
Totally different. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to make it. Who cares? I have been convinced, and I will stand by this, that Reba McEntire died in that plane crash, and that has been a drag queen since 1991.
I could be.
Because that has looked like a man in a dress for 21 years.
Oh, my God. Really?
It does. Like, take a look pre-plane crash and after plane crash.
I'm going to.
And that is
actually now
a man in a dress. That's aging fairly well.
Wow.
And I'm not making this up right here on the spot. I have been saying this every time I see her since 1991.
I believe you.
I'm not making this show.
You should actually see Savannah Stevens do Rootmeyer. She's amazing.
I thought it was.
Because it's her. Who looks better, more like a man in a dress than a man in a dress?
Clayton's getting beeped left and right.
Oh, I'm sorry. My cousin's in Wichita, Kansas, actually listening. Is what he just said.
Oh, well,
that's not
the same thing at all. I didn't realize he was like listening live.
He is, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was listening to like an older show.
Oh, no.
No.
He texts me, says, I'm learning to fly from your show. Well, that's not a good
How about Tyler from Tennessee?
He's in the chat room.
He's here. He's here.
He's there. Hi, Doug is there.
Oh, my gosh. Are these regulars?
Yes. Yes.
Katie, you can go into the chat room.
Well, I don't know how regular they are.
Go to QTalkAmerica.com and look for the chat room.
I have to say, I was just saying before the show started, I'm so impressed. The website and the whole operation that Joe and that you, Clayton, are running is really fantastic.
We're getting it together somehow.
Yeah. It's really, really something.
The payroll is a little bit testy because Buddy keeps bitching about things. But other than that...
And I still have not been paid. But okay, so for Tyler in Tennessee, there's a book by someone named Bernadette Barton. It's called Pray the Gay Away, but it's a good thing, not a bad thing. It is a book about the struggles of gays in the Bible Belt and trying to find role models and inspiration throughout the Deep South and the Bible Belt. And it's stories of courage and inspiration and supposedly very well written. I've just read the reviews. I haven't had a chance to download it and get a look at it. So I had that for Tyler, that there's maybe something interesting to read.
That he could read and find out?
Anything with the Deep South now, I think, I should tell him about that. With Tyler Michelle Pfeiffer. Because I have this note, and I'm going to figure out what with Michelle Pfeiffer means later.
Okay, we'll get to that.
She might be in a bathtub with glitter. I'm not sure.
Are you online, Katie, by the way?
No, I was actually just going to ask you. Because I thought I was online. I was stealing Pride's internet from across the way.
Stand by. Oh, hey, if you know how to do it,
can you read that?
Yes,
don't read
I
it
can.
On the air. Yes.
It says wireless.
No, that. No. I'm talking about, yes, assholes. I'm looking for the other one. Got it?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, you can join the network. I didn't want to broadcast our wireless code because, you know, internet is very expensive.
Well, what's her face is going to be sitting out there with a 40 stealing our wireless.
Leslie Baldwin?
Yeah.
She's got her eye on your trailer, actually.
She just goes building to building and steals her wireless. She's told us.
She drinks a 40 outside of it, listens to our show.
She's got an eye on Clayton's trailer, too.
She could be.
She's going to be in that thing next week.
She's going to be looking for a ride for Clayton.
We'll get on that. The way that Katie June joined our lovely show this evening was courtesy of Rainbow Cab for transportation needs that are both economical and on time. Call Rainbow Cab at 602-502-1367. If you'd like to, you can also pre-schedule for a special event, and they will be there on time and ready to take you wherever you need to go. You can also check them out on Facebook. Just look up Rainbow Cab.
And I have to tell you, Mike picked me up today, and he was not only was he on time, he was early. He called
they usually
me.
Are.
He called me in advance to let me know he was on his way, and he took me by AJ's so I could pick up.
That's
some
right.
Alcohol.
They did.
They will, sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you will call them and they're like, "I'm out front." And you're like, I haven't even put in the call yet.
How do you know?
The other thing that they will do, let's say you get home late at night and you're hungry and you don't want to leave because maybe you've had one too many. Like maybe if you leave
I've
here
never
on a Tuesday.
Done that.
If you call them, they will go to a drive-thru, get food, and bring it to you.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Well, he also said this is like, I said, how's this job? He said, it's the best ever.
That's
good.
Ever.
When an employee says, I love my
job. And I love that, like, you know how you feel guilty sometimes? Like, maybe I have to stop at Q-Talk. It's almost mandatory with them, not Q-Talk. Quick Trip.
QT.
Is that a place?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It exists.
There's that.
I have a hybrid. I never fill my car up with gas, so I don't know what... I don't fucking know.
That's kind of... That's
I haven't gotten gas since August now.
You mentioned hybrid. She's going to have... Katie June's going to have one tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it's because...
Join her.
It's not a diet.
She's like,
it's
Kelly,
not a diet.
You're going to have
it. I think the reason you haven't put gas in your car is because the last time you were out of town and I washed your car...
You filled it?
I filled your
car. Oh, I washed my car yesterday.
Is that in headlines?
Yep.
Here's a look at some headlines we're going to talk about on this Tuesday night right here on Q-Talk America. Search for Elvis spirit in Mesa, Arizona. A pole dancer is blamed for a bladder injury. Dye-stained cash shows up at a strip club. A man is arrested after a fist fight with a stop sign. And Big Bird steals the show on this week's Saturday Night Live. This and other boring topics coming to you moments from now. Well, actually right now on Q-Talk America.
As we all just sit here and ponder for a few moments. And now a moment of silence.
Now a moment of silence, exactly.
I've never been part of one of those. How does that feel?
Well, they're on your couch when you're unconscious.
Okay.
That's the moment of silence. Holy heavens. Let's see. I just found this out today. I didn't realize this. Back in the 1960s, Elvis was filming a movie called Flaming Star out here and apparently stayed at a Mesa place called Mineral Baths. Buckhorn Mineral Baths.
Yeah.
So now they're saying that he's haunting the place. So they've actually called in They've actually called in some mediums and
the
some
Long
other
Island
people.
Medium?
I'm not sure if she's going to come out here. She could. Maybe she's on vacation.
I love her.
So they're actually going through this thing this later this week to find out if maybe Elvis is residing at this. Really? No.
No.
Not happening.
I mean,
no.
I feel like of all the places that Elvis could
right.
like, spend the afterlife, it's probably not the Mesa Mineral Bath.
Probably
it
not.
Might be the Mesa grocery store where there was peanut butter in the aisle.
And bacon.
And bacon, right
sure.
exactly.
Yeah. No.
Definitely not the mineral.
I'm no, thinking she never stopped being a fat girl, even
no,
dead.
No, probably not.
Sad. Why would you?
She was so pretty.
Why would you? Really? Nobody.
Truly,
there's
truly
no
lovely.
Reason to. A pole dancer in Philadelphia, a lawsuit says that a bachelor party mishap at a strip club landed the groom-to-be in the hospital with a ruptured bladder. The Philadelphia Daily News reported Friday that Patrick Gallagher was invited to lie on the stage at the Penthouse Club as the dancer slid down a pole. That sounds like a sexual innuendo, but it's really not. The lawsuit filed last week alleges that the woman landed with such a force on Gallagher's abdomen that his bladder ruptured.
Oh. You know, next, just pee first.
I guess. I don't know what the hell's wrong. He needed surgery in November of 2010. The lawsuit accuses the club of negligence and seeks only... And I was surprised at the dollar amount. $50,000 is all they're seeking for medical care. Right, but I thought, you know, usually everybody goes for the jugular.
Millions.
They want millions of bucks.
I would.
So, but the $50,000 is for medical costs, pain, humiliation, and mental anguish.
I mean, listen, if you're going to put a lawsuit out for humiliation, for that reason.
For that reason. Yeah.
Go
really?
For the millions.
Right.
Like,
well, she didn't break his penis. She just ruptured his bladder.
But you were in a strip club before your wedding. So, I mean, granted, I realize that there are bachelor parties and all, but I wonder what your new bride thinks of that right now.
But, and where were you laying also?
He was laying, at the base of a pole and as whatever she's...
So horrible.
I think someone greased the pole.
Tiffany slid. Down it. It's Tiffany with an I. When she slid down, she landed on him with such brutal force.
Her full name is Tiffany Lynn.
Oh, of course.
She dots the I with a heart.
I'm just guessing.
That's from Ted. I understand that. Got that.
But you can any of those names with Lynn?
Yes. But you can call her Cinnamon.
Of course you can.
Oh. She's working her way through college.
Staying with our strip club theme that we currently have, in Southfield, Michigan, Oakland County man has been arrested after money stolen in a bank robbery and was covered in red dye was used at a Southwest Michigan strip club. Police say that 37-year-old Todd Kettler of Rochester was arraigned on Tuesday on armed robbery and gun charges in connection with the October 4th bank holdup. He was arrested Sunday after the manager of a Kalamazoo, Michigan strip club called police because a man was making it rain with dye-covered cash.
Oh my God.
With a henna rinse.
So what are you that goddamn stupid?
Yes,
apparently you
yes.
are. By the way, for those of you who don't know and are thinking of robbing a bank, dye packs are used by banks to track down money. When taken during robberies, the packs explode, spewing dye on both the criminal and the money itself. He's being held on $1 million bond.
They do that with clothing, too, now. Ruins that way you can't enjoy the dress you just stole.
Right. So if you pull off the little taggy thing.
That's true. That's true.
Really?
Yes, they
yes.
do. That's very true.
Same song.
Same song.
They do that. They do do that. A Roswell, New Mexico man is behind bars after police say he got into a fight with multiple police officers and a stop sign. 45-year-old Raymond Garcia was arrested last week following a long scuffle with police who used stun guns, pepper spray, and a baton to stop him. According to Roswell police, officers were called to an intersection Friday following reports that a man was seen having an altercation with a stop sign. I'm not sure how fucked up you have to be for that.
Wow. But I'm sure you explored it last week.
I did.
I'm sure you were close to whatever
after the show.
Whenever inebriation really? Is needed, I think
this is meth, not liquor.
Okay.
When approached, authorities say Garcia ran from officers and then they shot him with two taser darts, but he kicked him when they got close to him, so they didn't
good.
Take him down.
Police, that's meth. Now we're
good.
At meth.
Yes.
Right, we're at meth.
When the taser gun keeps
right.
you running.
Police also say that he wiped the pepper spray off of his face and then threw the baton dead. Back at them.
Nice. Oh, you got to hand it to him for
we're
that.
We're bordering into PCP territory now.
It's funny. I have a Roswell story.
It's Katie what? Makes a note of that.
No, it's true.
Katie, write it down. Take PCP before pepper spray.
What, buddy?
No, I was just saying, I have a Roswell-related story that I was going to share later in the show.
Oh,
so
coincidentally?
Kind of coincidence. It's something that happened.
My favorite two lines of the story, the last two. Garcia faces a number of charges. It was unclear that he had an attorney.
Yeah, he did not.
But I think he's got a drug dealer.
No one's touching that kid.
Yeah, apparently he knows his drug dealer very well.
I don't know who I am, but I'm sure I have a lawyer.
Thank you for going. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
That's one of the best lines in any
really
movie
is.
Ever.
What is that movie?
Overboard with Goldie Hawn. I don't know who I am, but I'm sure
I'm
I have
sure
a lawyer.
Oh, that is so funny. And I'm sure anybody who is anybody who paid attention to the debates last week knows that the lovely and talented and sometimes rehearsed Mitt Romney gave a shout out telling that he was basically going to be shutting down PBS and cutting all of their funding. Well, this week's highlight on Saturday Night Live came when a tired Big Bird joined Seth Meyers during the Weekend Update segment. When asked about being tired, Big Bird said that it was about 7 hours past his bedtime. The iconic Sesame Street character learned that he was mentioned in the debate after getting, quote, millions of tweets, but passed on making any statements on the election that missed Mitt Romney's vow to cut federal funding to PBS because he didn't want to, quote, ruffle any feathers. Needless to say, the 8-foot-tall Big Bird towered over Myers as they sat behind the anchor desk, and I have a little clip of the audio from that very segment on Saturday Night Live. Whoops, wrong one.
So, Big Bird, so how did you find out that your name had been mentioned in the debate?
Oh, I got a million tweets.
Okay. So you're on Twitter?
No, I'm a bird. Tweeting is how we talk.
So, Big Bird, has being mentioned in the debate affected you at all?
Oh, it has. I feel like I'm famous now. I was walking down the street the other day and I felt like everybody recognized me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so weird to think that just a few days ago, I could just blend in like every other perfectly normal 8-foot-tall talking bird.
It was so cool to actually see Big Bird walk onto the set of Saturday Night Live.
I really thought they were going to go with a pseudo Big Bird for lawsuit reasons. Right. But boy, whoever,
it's Big Bird.
Whoever wrote that for Big Bird, though, yeah. Like they that was a balance beam act tightrope act of staying non-political but on topic, very funny.
Yeah, it was very cute.
I have a thought, though, about the Big Bird. I just feel... Okay, so I think
it's slipping the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's a really bad, bad, bad move politically for the Democrats and for President Obama to jump so much on the bandwagon because I feel like... I love PBS and I'm all for it and I love NPR and like I'm all about public media, but I just think it's foolish. I think that Mitt Romney hit it out of the park on the debate in so many regards. I am not a Mitt Romney person, but he did a great job. But the fact that what the Democrats are taking away is Big Bird.
I'm going to go one further because what's pissed me the fuck off, irritated me to no end, is this is what people are getting riled up about. I get it. PBS is great. You don't want to lose Sesame Street. I think the whole getting rid of the funding for PBS is ridiculous because it's not going to do a damn thing.
But
it's
right,
drop in the bucket. But this is what the American public is getting up in arms over when there's so many other things.
Low information voters. And this is the danger. And they've been talking about it on The Daily Show. They've been talking about it everywhere. This low information voters. And that's who this debate unfortunately appealed to. Mitt Romney got to change every position he had. Yeah. Including,
and no one called him out.
And including taxpayers. And Obama just kind of gave up when he's like, so now your whole thing is forget about it?
Yes.
Like,
no one called him out.
No one called him out.
Even
on it
Obama.
And said, yeah, Obama Nobody. Just said he had that one joke, and then you could tell he was like, all right, this is just going to be bullshit.
Right.
But unfortunately, everyone's not like us watching the election day by day. So the low information Republicans are like, yes, cut PBS. That's going to fix the deficit, not realizing it's a penny.
Well, and the thing
is
that
dollars.
The Democrats and Obama are playing right into that because they're not talking about the real issues. They're talking about.
But the
Sesame
problem is
Street.
They're not going for us, though. They're going for now you're going for the Democratic low information voters that are like, PBS is in jeopardy. That's what they're fighting about.
For the
because neither of these people that are now these undecided voters realize PBS is absolutely nothing.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it's $100 million in a trillion. It's not even
$100 million. It's not even. It's like 80,000, 70 or no, 7 or 800,000.
It's a little bit. I think it's more than a million. It's more than a million. I know there's a million in the word.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
It's so small, but it's for the now we're aiming for these low information voters. So the first time they really heard Romney speak outside of that 47% thing that went viral, they think this is his tax plan. Mm-hmm. Like when he said to Obama, you can keep saying it, but it's not true. I'm sorry, your vice president is still campaigning on that today.
Like, people just don't pay attention.
No,
and that's the scariest and hardest thing
if you did watch Saturday Night Live, they reran at the end of the episode. Maybe you can find that clip. The commercial they did about undecided voters.
Oh my God.
Have you seen it?
Amazing.
Yes.
Where they're
hilarious.
What are the names of the people who are running?
Is one of them president?
And be specific.
Are there any women running? Because if women aren't allowed to vote or aren't allowed to run, I have a problem with that.
And if men aren't allowed, I feel equally as bad about that. It was so funny, but their Long Island Medium skit was...
Oh, I'm going to get to that later. I'm going to get to that later, too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good. I mean, it was a good episode.
Well, I think that about wraps up headlines. Buddy, you ready to go?
Oh, why not?
Here we go.
And here's your sports headlines for the week. If I can find them. The boxing world gets KO'd by its first out member.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If the Cardinals' running game was already non-existent, then what do we call it when it gets worse? Jerry Sandusky saga comes to an end, question mark? And it's still anyone's guess when hockey season might start.
That's boring.
We need sound effects there.
There's that.
Featherweight Orlando Cruz.
Featherweight, come on.
I know.
And he's gay.
I know. It's Big Bird. Way to stand by your own.
Orlando Cruz, a 2000 Puerto Rican Olympian and a French contender as a professional fighter. Has done something unusual in boxing or in any professional sport. He has publicly announced he is gay. Cruz, 31, the openly gay fighter, released a statement in which he called himself a proud gay man. He told the Associated Press in an interview that he is relieved about his decision but had initial reservations. Cruz is 18-2-1 with 9 knockouts. A pro since December of 2000, he is scheduled to face Jorge Pazos on October 19th in the main event of a Telemundo televised card. Cruz said in his statement that he was tired of hiding who he really was and that he met with psychologists and others before making the announcement.
Good now, for him.
In a related story, I already have his phone number.
I'm back. I'm sure. Clayton been trying to friend him on Facebook.
He's already bought his underwear.
But you know what? Here's a really cool
thing.
That's
only Jason Medina.
Here's a really cool thing. You know, we talked very early on in one of our early episodes about, you know, knowing a gay person and how that makes a difference.
I do know a gay person. That's funny.
And while this is not while this is not knowing a gay person, there's a young man at my work. He's like 23, and he is kind of a very amateur boxer. Like, he's training. He wants to he wants to fight, and he's into boxing. He gets all the pay per view, and then he tries to engage me in conversation about boxing. And I'm like, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But I sent him this when it came out on ESPN. The number 2 story that morning on ESPN website was this, and I sent it to him, and he came up to me, and he's like, no fucking way. Are you kidding me? And he was kind of giggling because he thought it was so bizarre. But then he's like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And because he would have never even thought,
right,
you know, like, really a gay boxer. Right. But then he saw this story and he's like, wow. And he's actually heard of this guy too. So it's kind of cool.
He's not unattractive. I'm just going to tell you.
And this guy also asked me, he's like, so would you look at him and think he's gay? And I'm like, no, my gaydar would not go off with this guy.
Not with a boxer.
It wouldn't.
No, I agree with that. I agree with you on that. Not a boxer. Because I was hoping for Oscar De La Hoya for years. Right.
Well, we're still waiting for that.
I want to look at this guy. What's his name?
Orlando Cruz.
All right.
Yes.
He sounds cute.
If you just Google...
You're going to come up on some kind of Mickey Mouse gay porn site.
Google gay boxer and go to images. It'll come right up.
Yeah.
Dead air. Go ahead.
The Arizona Cardinals, who are still dealing with their first loss of the season last Thursday to the Rams, are now facing a season without an experienced running back. Earlier this week, the team lost starter Ryan Williams to a season-ending shoulder injury that will require surgery. In week 3, their previous starter, Beanie Wells, went down with a severe turf toe. They always find that funny.
Turf toe.
Injury. It's embarrassing.
That is expected.
It sounds like something a Sesame Street character is suffering.
That's an embarrassing injury.
Exactly. Or it actually is a character.
Yeah.
And
here's Turf Toe with the sports.
Turf Toe.
It's going to rain!
That Turf Toe is going to sideline Beanie Wells until at least November 25th. Now, unless the Cardinals decide to entrust Lerod Stevens-Howling, William Powell, or Alphonso Smith with all of their carries, it is likely the Cardinals will turn to free agency in an attempt to find an all-purpose back. A few of the veteran names being tossed around are Joseph Addai, Steve Slayton, and Cadillac Williams. And these are all guys who have had previously great seasons as a running back, but in the NFL, running backs have such a short lifespan.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got their 4 or 5 years maybe where they can really get their yards and make their money, and then it's like, okay, we need the younger, faster, you know, more sturdier version of you now.
And they're surprisingly short. You're going to get killed out there.
Yeah.
Every time you see a running back get interviewed next to his teammates, you're like, oh, poor thing.
So now the Cardinals, they have already had one of the worst running games in the league, and now they have between their backup running backs, I think like 5 carries on the season.
After all those years of shitty passing game, I guess it's nice to trade off for something else.
You'd like
shitty.
To have a balanced attack. Though,
I'm going this Saturday to the game. I'm very excited.
Buffalo
Bills.
That's
yep.
right.
I got the tickets came in the mail today from a friend of my family who wasn't able to use them. So
Very cool.
I'm so, can you talk to me like I'm a girl who doesn't know anything about football?
Well, who's Clayton, I will tell you.
Well, the lesbian that usually sits in that chair knows sports.
I know she does, and I do not. But I know WNBA.
And I knew that, and I looked for a WNBA story.
I was
for
hoping,
tonight, but they're like on the cusp of the finals, so I didn't really have anything to report.
It's the draft. Yeah. That's the exciting thing.
Well, that's the thing here, Katie. I really feel like the Mercury tanked the season on purpose.
Oh, what?
I'm
not going to say that that's totally beyond the realm of what could be possible.
Didn't they basically sit Diana Taurasi halfway through the season and were like, okay, we're just going to let you the whole season?
The whole season.
Just for a better draft pick.
Yeah. Well, so they could get, I mean, this girl is a once in a generation player.
Oh my God. It's like insane, crazy.
So next year, granted, they went like 7-25 this year. They'll be a championship contender next year.
Oh, that's a reasonable amount of games, though. I might follow that sport.
I see.
There's
so
many sports that I don't follow because I'm sorry.
No,
baseball, there's 160 or 140 some games. Who gives a shit?
WNBA.
WNBA is like that, yeah.
Well, tell me like who a famous running back is that I would know. Like not knowing anything. Like who's a really popular name? That
Adrian Peterson?
No.
Steven Jackson? Chris Johnson?
Is Thurman Thomas a running back?
Not anymore.
No, but I mean.
He was.
Yeah.
Who?
Buffalo
Bills. You want a current or Eric Dickerson? Emmett Smith, Barry Sanders.
Emmett Smith.
Very famous.
Boom, okay. Emmett Smith.
Black guy, right?
Really fast.
Just saying.
Black guy, really fast. Muscles.
Yeah. Yes.
Fast.
Okay. Hasn't.
He was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
He won, in fact.
Oh my God, that's how I know
that's
him.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's sad. Okay. Let's move on because hopefully, this is.
I felt judgment over that Mounds bar.
Hopefully this is the last time we will speak of Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, please, yes.
Well, he's gang raped and murdered in prison.
He was sentenced Tuesday to at least 30 years in prison. It's actually 30 to 60 years, which is interesting.
That's it.
He's dead either way.
Yeah, but
we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that, right.
It's effectively a life sentence in the child sex abuse scandal that brought shame to Penn State and led to Coach Paterno's downfall. I can't say that. Judge John Cleland handed down a 30 to 60 year term. He called Sandusky dangerous, saying he betrayed children and abused their trust. Under Pennsylvania law, Sandusky cannot be released on parole before the minimum term is up, and he'll be 98 when that comes up. The former Penn State assistant coach was found guilty in June of 45 counts of child sexual abuse, convicted of molesting 10 boys over a 15-year period. So the thing about with the 30 to 60 year sentence.
Right.
What I'm hearing on the radio, and you may have been listening to the same report, the reason is when you say sentence someone to life, that actually gives them more, if I'm understanding it correctly, more of a appeal.
Right.
Like this is unfair, undue punishment. But if you set it 30 years and that's the minimum, it's harder for them to appeal that sentence, I guess.
What I heard in reference to this was, if let's say that the judge would have said, I'm going to sentence you to 700 years.
Oh, right, exactly.
Because it was like, what was it, 400 or 500 years.
So then what would have happened is if he has 10 days to appeal this, which I'm sure they're going to try.
Oh, okay.
But if they were to have appealed it and then another judge would have heard it, they could have said, yeah, that was an excessive sentence. Potentially could have said that was an excessive sentence and then reduced it. With this, it being 30 to 60, there's no chance in hell. A, he's not going to live that long. Number two, even if he does at 98, they're still not going to let his ass out. But the chances for another judge to come back and say, that's fair. We're done with this.
Right.
Just leave it alone.
I was, the math nerd in me was sitting there doing, that's like a year to a year point three per victim.
That's
like less than a year to a year point three per victim. So that's hard to appeal to. Like, no, that's fair. If you raped 45 kids in a row, you're probably going to get 450 years.
What if I've only raped 6 kids, Al? Too soon?
Oh, but...
six times one point five.
But the fact that this fucking retard, sorry, Marnie, is still...
yeah.
Not that Marnie's a retard.
Oh.
we understood.
We got it.
That he got a chance to speak again.
And he's still denying everything.
Oh, my God. The letter that he sent from jail, the letter where he said, just look at my accusers and then you'll know that I'm honest in my heart. And I'm going, oh my God.
Your accusers
and
then he says that the one kid is looking for attention. Who is looking?
Yeah.
This is not a Kardashian. Who is looking
for attention from being?
This. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and the fact that he never took a stand because his own adopted son.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
When your son comes forward and you're like, just kidding, I'm not going to take the stand. I mean, there's something there. It's just,
there is something to that.
It's horrible.
If there's enough smoke, There's got to be a fight.
And can, I be perfectly honest with you? Sorry, Matt Maroska. It is driving me insane that Penn State is actually having a good year in football.
Oh, I saw.
So are you winning games. Wait, are you now? Are you kind of anti Penn State?
No,
because of this whole thing?
No, I have always actually liked Penn State because I was under the impression too that it's an upstanding program. But I wanted
the cult.
I just I wanted the cult again. I wanted the cult to suffer a bad season at least because so many Penn State faithful are
were
and still, you know, folding their arm. No, this did not happen. This is unfair to us. You know, and I just want to be like,
and they
suffer through a few bad seasons.
I just love that we're still getting that. You're rushing to judgment. Well, how fucking long do we have to wait?
Right. I saw something on like a Dateline or something about a student who
was Clayton on it?
Was it Dateline?
It wasn't to catch a predator.
NBC.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Dateline La Negra?
So
for those of you listening at home, I flipped Al off.
No. It was a student who was a, you know, like a hard pressed guy from New Jersey and hard luck life and ended up getting drafted or got a scholarship or whatever to Penn State, and he was so excited, and then this whole scandal broke. And he ended up leaving and going to Rutgers, but I felt really sad for someone like that. Mm-hmm. Like, those players who have, you know, given their everything, new players, right, who are being punished for actions that are not their own. There are no bowl games, their future.
But we have to break the cycle of that cult.
There are innocent victims, and I don't mean to use that. That's probably the bad term to use when there really were so many victims who were young and innocent. But sometimes there's collateral damage in these things.
Makes sense.
And that's the
lesson.
If
you're a
current
player, hey, this is life. And part of the whole thing about me wanting them to have a bad season is, as Al referenced the cult, you know, This was a cult like institution, and where they put winning and football above
everything.
Anything.
Yeah,
right. Even
right.
Through the scandal, not everyone at Penn State,
no,
but a lot of people still were only concerned about what is this going to do to our championship football team, and they need to see what the ramifications are to this, and that's
true.
Why I want
I
them to
that.
Have a bad season or two.
Right.
Now, one of the things that we talked about this, obviously, when this was all going down months and months ago, one of the things that I felt bad about, and I think that maybe that's an overly stated thing, but the residual, the collateral damage is all the mom and pop restaurants and the little things that are around there that live solely because their revenue is from ball games and from parking and from all the other things. That sucks at all those people
But they're still selling out.
But they build the cult. But they're back. They're doing okay.
They're still selling out.
They're part of that build the cult society. Like
True.
Yeah, that cult starts.
Right. They believed in all of it. But the fact that, you know, this was denied or were shut
right,
and locked
Sally
away.
Joe's and now it blew up. Cafe right.
My question, though, is there any evidence that these mom and pop businesses are doing poorly?
No, not at all. They're doing well. Everything's doing well. Like, the stadium is filling. The stadium's filling up. The teams are winning.
They're not
like,
giving up on their team.
Oh, no,
they're
no,
just
no,
pissed
no, no, no,
off.
No,
they're still going to buy the tickets and go down.
Listen, I don't get
still
college
in the
sports
then,
at all.
Then
I went
fine.
To
screw that.
I went to NAU, and my college sport was like smoking weed and throwing frisbee golf in the woods.
And that was just last year. And that was just last week.
If you were listening to The Cure while you were doing it, we went to college
Al
together.
Al was student athlete of the month for frisbee golf.
Of the minute. Of the minute.
Is that your sport?
Oh, I just had a little bit about hockey, but nobody cares about hockey. So.
When will it start? No one knows.
Yeah,
I thought it was a rhetorical question. Read it again.
It really is. It's still anyone's guess.
When hockey will start. Nobody fucking knows.
What's happening with
They are in labor negotiations, similar to what the NBA was
in. And hockey starts in late summer, and it ends in midsummer.
Wait, you
like
should
it goes
care,
for 11
though.
Fucking
like
months.
You're almost Canadian, so you kind of care
yes,
about that.
Is.
I am nearly Canadian.
Just about.
Well, just a quick update. They are meeting this week to try to resolve the lockout. They have already canceled the first 2 weeks of the regular season, wiping out 82 games from October 11th, which is 2 days from now, when I guess the season was supposed to start.
Again, it starts in 24. Late summer, and it goes to early summer. It goes on forever. And let me the reason I hate hockey so much is because in 1981 or 1982, when Cheers was the lowest-rated show on TV, it actually was the lowest, the bottom of the rung.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It would never survive.
I didn't know.
I was part of the Save Cheers committee. In
place. No, you weren't.
I wore my button to say Save Cheers.
Yes, you were.
Me and my friend Sherry Littlewood, it was our favorite show, and we were the only two people in North America watching it, and because it was so poorly rated at the time, and it really was the only show in history
surprising
to be last in the ratings and number one in the ratings in the same run.
Wow.
So NBC in Buffalo, they couldn't get enough ratings off Cheers, so they would take off Cheers to watch hockey. Ugh. And this was back with no internet, no reruns. Like, so there's most of the first two seasons of Cheers
you
that I never
devastated.
Saw. Because they were always showing fucking
and
hockey.
And that first season was the best.
And the next day at school, everyone was like, yay, they played the hockey game. And I'm like,
fuck you!
Cheers is hysterical.
I love Cheers!
And I've hated hockey
Sam
ever since.
And who was that? Who was Shelley? Diane.
And oddly, to bring that together, I was upset to hear about the breakup of Rhea Perlman.
Oh my God.
You guys are stealing my list.
No, let's talk about it.
We'll keep it a secret.
I wanted to throw this out just
it's
right
quick. It's a heartbreak.
My mom texted me that she said, in regards to the Sesame Street thing, it's an anti-gay Mormon issue with Sesame Street. They don't allow Mormons to watch Winnie the Pooh either. They don't like Bert and Ernie. Do you know anything about this?
Well, I'm sure Bert and Ernie.
But granted...
Is it two bachelors living together?
The Children's Television Network has never come out and said that Bert and Ernie are gay. But I'm just saying, has anybody else heard about this?
Yeah, because I have heard this just in the last year about, I don't recall it being from Mormons, but from conservative councils or whatever, criticizing Bert and Ernie because they said, look, these are two grown men saying these guys are you know, butt pirates together.
But they don't have survival food stored away somewhere, so I don't think they are. I think they're
There's this new term that's out there. Like last week, we were talking about the movable middle. There's the dog whistle of racism, and I think on the positive side, there's the dog whistle of like gaydar, where like Bert and Ernie, like to everyone else, are like, oh, it's just two guys that, you know, like
they're roommates.
Oh, they're just roommates. Move on. But in that dog whistle pitch that only certain people can hear. Mm-hmm. It's gay.
It's like Cagney and Lacey. Right.
Gag Me and Lamey.
So do you think
I used to call them Butch and Bernie. I love that show.
So do you think that song that Bert always sings, that Doing the Pigeon, is that some sort of a sexual innuendo?
Oh, my
well,
God.
Metaphor. I think it
sounds
only,
like it.
Now, when
Doing
Ernie,
the pigeon. Is that in the voice of Nathan Lane?
It's because in the background, Ernie has a hand towel and a bottle of lotion.
He does.
That's
how I knew.
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Oh,
right.
But
no.
I'm thinking that if you're rubbing yourself off, lotion and fur are not a good mix. You got to find out what makes lotion rub smoother. Listeners at home, chime in.
Tyler, however
you self-identify.
The phones are open. You can call in even though I'm ignoring it. And it really takes up way too much time
of
the show.
Open
we vetoed the open line thing weeks ago.
There's that, exactly. It never works out too well.
I think it's just nuts, right? Like about, they're all crazy. All those righties.
Oh, Harrison says she likes that the Penn State is doing just fine without the beloved coach. Turns out he wasn't all that important after all.
You know, I can see that side of it. So
yeah.
Good for her.
Well said, Harrison.
Thank you, Harrison.
You'll hear that in a second when it goes to you.
And Joe loves Frasier.
Yeah, I know, Joe. We'll hang out soon. I'll take you to see a movie that's not Star Trek. That'd be exciting.
We'll see how that works out. I'm not sure.
Going, who's Joe?
Who's Joe? Who's Joe?
I don't know why my mind went to lesbian when you
victim,
said Joe.
SVU.
I'm like, Joe Paul Nijek?
Because we're talking old shows. You're thinking Facts of Life.
It's all right. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I'm with Buddy Early, Al Perkins, and this week, Katie June. We're going to start hour two moments from now, so stick around.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. It's 8:02 on a Tuesday night. In studio with Katie June, Al Perkins, and Buddy Early. And as we do at this time each Tuesday night, I think it's time for our drinking game. If I can hit the right fucking button.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye,
as long as and there is no lifeguard on duty,
so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you.
Good luck.
Good luck. Your drinking word is lotion.
Oh!
As in, it puts the lotion on its skin.
Oh.
Unless it's a Muppet.
Living your life
in
a hand up your
ass. And then I can't figure out why I kidnapped a Muppet and put it in a hole.
The word is lotion.
Lotion.
So figure out how to use that in a word. Katie, you think you're going to be able to pull that off?
I mean, I'm going to try really hard.
Yeah. I'm going to lube that shit up with lotion. There you go, drink.
Later on in life, when Palmer listens to these podcasts that are stored.
Oh,
for...
she won't be.
Now no. I hear
off limits to
babies. Birthday is coming up soon or soon to be.
Oh, your birthday?
Oh, both of our birthdays actually just happened.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Tim was saying it seemed like a year since a baby was born.
He's so sweet. He's so thoughtful. Yeah, Palmer turned 12 months on
that's called a year.
September 2nd. Right? I know. I'm in like months. You
I like the fact that your daughter and I, it's Virgo, we're Virgo
yes.
sisters.
And I turned 32 on September 18th.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I have known for many, 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 many years now.
How old you are?
That yes. I'm 12 months. That I am.
How many months you are?
I am more compatible with Virgos than any other. Any other sign? Any other?
How did you deduce this?
By the people who've been in my life that I not everyone but that I've been extremely close to either by dating or very close friends or people I will meet and I just like I connect with them immediately and I find out of course you're a Virgo.
You and I have always gotten along
right,
well.
What is your sign?
I'm Gemini.
Okay.
And I've come to find that we're very compatible mostly with Virgos, with other Geminis, and with Aquarius.
Okay.
Yeah. Katie, what do you think about the astrological compatibility?
I am very uncompatible with Aries. I can tell you that. I had a horribly volatile relationship with an Aries.
Oh.
But Kelly is a Cancer.
Okay.
And we seem to
so that
get
works
along
out well
most
yeah.
of the time.
Mine is Libras. Like Libras make a fucking decision. And when I like halfway through a conversation, I have to ask people like, "You're a Libra."
What
aren't
are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh,
we're painfully
headed.
We're good, right? We're good with Geminis because
yeah,
Geminis are like
are.
The less evil Libras.
Yeah. Okay.
I shouldn't have to ask you this, but what was Danny?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's what made me go looking.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, this
what
fucker's
the fuck
a pain
is wrong with this?
I am 545 months old. in 2 days.
did you just do the math?
Yeah,
you
I'm going to celebrate with lotion.
drink.
Cheers.
Drink.
Perhaps a hand towel. Maybe a hand towel should have been the word.
Either or.
No, but I find that I am much more the top of the calendar. I'm more your...
It's odd that you're a top in anything.
Yeah, exactly. No, but... I'm more as the calendar warms, I find more people I like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm airy, okay. Like Pisces through like we cut it off at Libra.
Is Virgo anywhere in there, or you just are we just
Virgos
kind of
right
don't
before
like each
Virgo?
Other
no,
that
no,
much.
No, Virgos are good.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
Oh, Virgos
I'm
are
good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yes.
Virgos are like late August to late September, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very late August.
I do very well with Virgos.
Oh, like, good. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, Al and I have been friends for many, many years.
That's
just like
true.
Buddy and I.
Yeah.
That
so,
is true.
Yeah, it works out well.
Leos and I are good. Like any of the strong personality signs. If you're weak, I'll walk right the fuck
no.
away.
Yes.
Like I don't have time for
aside
that shit.
Aside from the compatibility factor where I've determined that I am extremely compatible with Virgos,
mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to mention the shared personality traits that Virgos have that I've noticed because we don't want to go there.
What?
There's some...
Oh, we're going to go there because we got time.
We do?
Well, of course. It's
no,
only...
just some...
Okay.
Virgos, let me just say, Virgos can be very frustrating. Because,
we can be very frustrated. Yeah.
And also frustrated dead.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
But
exactly.
I can admit
right.
that I
You're
am
right.
an incredibly frustrating person.
You're right.
We're going to conjugate this verb so many different ways.
I need lotion.
I know.
Woo.
Yes.
So what? So buddy,
I'm a little ashy.
Never mind.
I want you to expand on that.
Well, it's hard to. If I had thought about this topic, I would have maybe thought how to put it into words.
If you
word.
Can't just really spout it out, you don't. It's irrelevant then.
Okay, it's irrelevant.
No.
Wouldn't it be fun if people in our if somebody made a friend in our chat room and they became lovers, like long distance lovers
who's
that needed lotion? I don't know. But they're all. Well, you know, everybody gets ashy in flights, but you know they might meet up, they might find each other,
or in the
like Tyler and Joe or Harrison and.
You know, I'm
Harrison.
I'm just going to say, I will make one comment about Virgos.
Okay,
and
please.
I find this true of a lot of Virgos, including my best friend. And this is, I think you will maybe be like, okay, yeah. Your tendency to be like, and this is not nearly necessarily positive or negative. It could be either. Your tendency to be, hey, this is where I'm coming from, like it or not. I'm moving on. You can join me in this or not, but fuck you if you don't.
How is Al not a Virgo?
I'm going to address this one. And this is the Gemini thing because the Geminis are that two sides.
Right.
And the Libra thing is the scales. Like they can't make a fucking decision and they'll argue with you about the color of the sky.
Yes, they will. You
and
I know
assholes.
That.
But Geminis have that same, like they want to make everybody happy, but they're the less, like I said, they're the less annoying version of Libras.
Of a Leo.
But no, a Libras.
Libra.
But Virgos have that same thing. And that's what I always say. Like, I'm attracted to those people that are just make a decision and let's move the fuck on.
Yeah,
like,
I don't do gray very well.
Like, let's look at the wall. Let's decide what we're going to do, right or wrong. We're moving forward. And later we'll talk about how we pissed you off.
I must be then a something rising, right? Like a Libra rising, and I don't know anything about this. Right.
Somebody could
really
do
because you're a follower.
But you got to give it.
She's a joiner. She's a joiner.
But I tell you, I used to be so irritated. My mom would say,
"What
this.
Diet were
She'd
you
getting pissed?" She'd
what
go,
diet were you on then?
I was carb free, and I was just angry about it.
You were Atkins
completely
diet,
completely carb free.
All right.
So my mom would say, "The sky is." You'd go, "The sky is blue," and she'd go, "No, it's absolutely not." And I do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what he and I went through.
Yeah. I do the same thing, and so I must have that two faces.
There's
I'm always trying to please. So I must have that rising.
But that's a little bit of lady business. Also, just like a saw of lotion.
I'm a little bit of a whiny bitch.
Does your opinion go in cycles like monthly?
Oh my god!
Is it time for sports?
I know. I have the funniest story. Okay, at the restaurant, I worked with this guy from Kenya via Iowa, and
is his name Barack
funny.
Obama?
It's god, already no. funny. Stop it!
God bless him. He's got the thickest accent, and as the night gets later, by like 3 a.m., we don't know what he's saying. And we use a voice command.
Kind of like Clayton during the show.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
No.
What?
Only
like,
last
look at you're on Cookie Monster mode already.
Woo, woo, woo.
Anyways, I love you. Listeners at home, however you self-identify, I actually do like Clayton, I just don't on the show.
No! He's sober. I'm drunk.
I'm actually getting drunk tonight. So.
I can end all of this right now.
So Kenya, the accent gets thicker and thicker, and we do this thing where you dial a number and you like call people and you're like, what's the one girl's name? Lisa Heron. She had somebody do it in the voice of the movie phone guy. Ugh, but you call people. Well, people with thick accents can't do it. So you're like, did you say, like, chicken station? No, I didn't say that. So his accent gets thicker and thicker. And he gets little American expressions wrong. So the other day, we're asking him, like, what's going on? He's like, it's my wife's season. And we're like,
oh, my goodness.
Her
no.
What?
No.
He's like, it's her season. We're like, it's her what? And then he time of the month became season to him. We're like, how long do you think she menstruates?
You know what? You guys make.
That is essentially three and a half weeks out of the year.
She bleeds through spring.
Wow. Not even some lotion's going to help.
No.
So you're saying you guys make prank calls from the restaurant? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, my God. We do. No, but yeah, but we do this. It's called Vocera.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
You call people like that you need to page, and you dial the number.
Last
no, you do it into the phone, and then they wear a little pendant that they push the button. They're like,
that's
yes.
That's a fucking huge
like,
restaurant.
Can you take a call?
They page people.
Yeah. I mean, it's
very bureaucratic at that restaurant.
The restaurant's on a campus. It's called a campus. And I love, because Doug Wilkie will argue with me about where it is. God bless Doug Wilkie. But one time he argued with me about where I worked. Like, he gives me tests like I don't work at Good Sam. Ooh, whoops.
I'll edit that in post.
Because one day I was telling him where I worked. He's like, the hospital's at 10th Street. I'm like, Yeah, I know where the hospital is. I go there.
Where's the restaurant?
I'm there daily. But where's the restaurant?
Where's the restaurant? Long story. Who's list? Who's going first on the list?
I can go first. Okay. Because we've actually touched on a couple of things on my list.
Poor Doug Wilkie. I throw him under the bus every week, and I love him like my luggage. Is that on your list?
No, luggage? Like Doug Wilkie's luggage?
No. Still Magnolias.
No, but it was. I meant to put it on
that's
there.
That's a good one.
The reason it's not on my list is because I haven't watched it yet, although I taped it. I watched bits of it.
Spoiler alert.
That's a good one.
Edward Archibald, 32, was in a cockroach eating contest.
Oh,
oh my God.
I almost put this in headlines. Go for it.
Yes.
He had reason to celebrate because the grand prize was an ivory ball python, and he won the contest. However, his jubilation was short-lived when he died.
Yes, he did.
Eating
so
cockroaches.
Awful.
He started vomiting, then collapsed in front of the store and was pronounced dead at a local hospital. Yeah, I know.
I had to tune it out because you kept saying la cucaracha. Yeah. Let me read.
Can I? Well, he's telling the story.
I know. But I can't listen to stories about cockroaches.
Well, that was it. Okay. He was in a cockroach eating contest in South Florida.
See, no, okay.
Here's the thing. Is anybody 32 here?
God. Isn't that funny?
Are you really 32?
I just turned 32.
Oh, my God. Katie.
It is the week of stupid 32-somethings. That doesn't make any sense. But
I wonder if I did something stupid this
Felix
week.
Felix Baumgartner, also 32.
Joining this cast.
Yeah.
This
it's
week
on a Tuesday,
had
so.
To cancel his attempt to break the sound barrier.
Oh, I thought, yes.
Did it happen?
No. This guy sounds really embarrassing.
Listen to the
and
story.
I'm talking about breaking the sound barrier himself.
No, right. He sounds super embarrassing already.
Free falling.
Yes.
Over Roswell, New Mexico.
I heard.
No.
I listened to it all day
They
today.
Canceled it today because of the
high
wind.
Winds, yes.
What the fuck is this guy thinking?
I don't,
okay.
yeah.
It's, I don't know who
he's
he
in the hot air balloon, right? Or he's
right,
going
he's
up
going,
in the balloon.
He goes up in the balloon and then he jumps out of the balloon.
22 miles up.
Get a clue.
Right. And then apparently the free fall is 15 minutes. It takes that long. I didn't think it was going to take that fucking long. So here's what I don't understand is.
This guy needs to get
he's
real.
Coming back. He's re-entering atmosphere. It's at the same point that the Challenger re-entered atmosphere and then exploded.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So he's in a suit. He's in some Make suit. He's not surrounded by the Challenger. I don't think. No, he's going to die.
He's an idiot.
He's going to die.
I mean, that's just stupid.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, something else we touched on earlier was the.
Oh, I wanted to comment on that.
Well, then why don't you?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I actually didn't have a mental block. I just get so grossed out
by cockroach or the free faller?
The cockroach. No, because my thing is, if you want to break the sound barrier,
right.
up
so that's
in
what
space,
we're talking about,
okay.
right?
What the fuck is the little high wind at the bottom going to do?
Well, that's
because your ass is dead.
No,
like 3
I think
miles
it was because
fucker.
Of the balloon is made out of.
Wait,
the balloon is made out of something that's like 1/10 as thick as a sandwich baggie.
It's like it's some mylar
I don't know
or something.
The deal. You know what? If this
but isn't
were,
it 53 stories
but
tall?
If this were a real show, I would have done some research on
yeah.
this and really
I
had
was
some
very
facts.
Mad that I, cause I
we are a real show.
Well, there's not a lot of facts, though. You
not,
say it.
No, we do. I went into work last night, and the one thing that kept me is I wanted to be awake today in case...
This guy
did it because
blew
I'm like,
up.
I want to watch
re-entry.
This fucker
well,
like die.
But wait,
you said 53 stories high.
I think
the balloon is.
Oh, I'm sorry, the balloon. Oh, because I'm thinking, how do you when yeah. you
no,
jump
the,
off of a 53
no,
story
no,
building? You're
but,
just going to hit the
but
concrete.
Mike,
I learned happening? That the hard way.
Did anybody figure what's happening to this balloon? Is it going to just become space junk flying around?
Well, he's going to give it another try on Thursday.
Oh,
he gave his crew the day off tomorrow. Because they need it, I guess.
Well, they
I don't
were
know
stressed.
What the fuck that is. But the wind cannot be above 2 miles per hour.
You're entering.
Where is the wind not above
this
2 miles per hour?
This person has to
hour.
Be a little bit
right.
like he's at
Retardando
least.
Retardando.
Well,
the,
I was going to say
it's
like
above two in the studio right now.
Maybe like autistic. Maybe he's autistic.
He
or
is
something.
Austrian, not autistic. He's from.
Oh. Because I feel like something.
But he's
happening.
Also 32, Katie.
Yeah, well, we'd make bad decisions at 32.
Okay, so we were talking about
like gluten free diets.
It's so horrible. All I want is a goddamn.
Oh, I hope you're coming back next week.
These mounds are so good, Katie.
I promise you, if I'm back next week, it'll be a different diet.
Yeah, right.
I'll be on like mounds only. That's a new thing.
She's gonna be on the that star show.
That sounds odd, being a lesbian.
Mounds only.
Only the mounds.
Oh, I've been on that diet.
I'm
gonna for
enjoy
a year.
That one with lotion later. Katie. That may have been your funniest moment ever.
Katie's gonna be our.
I would like to nominate that.
I don't know. I still think he's sober. I'm the drunk one.
Yeah.
But I'm going for intentionally funny, not making fun of him funny. Turns out there's like two categories for Best Actress.
Read on, buddy.
Earlier in the show, we talked about SNL, and we also talked about Long Island Medium.
I love
and
her
I
so
want to
much.
Give a shout out to their new cast member, Kate McKinnon, who did the Long Everything. Island Medium, and she did Ellen. Her Ellen, did you see it, Katie?
No, I did not.
Her Ellen was spot on. And
I need to Google
Kate
her.
McKinnon is her name, and she's a lesbian.
Lesbian, but what's the other one she did? She did.
I'm trying to remember. I can't
because
remember
they
now.
Turned it around.
Diane Keaton. No, she didn't do Diane.
She didn't do Diane Keaton, but she did somebody else. Yeah. Like she turned it around. Last week she did Ann Romney. That was
she
funny.
Did.
What's
was
her name?
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. Yeah, I just have to say listeners, longtime listeners, however you self-identify, may remember last year when I was kicking Kristen Wiig's ass out of the SNL Studio 8H. And the reason I said was because she is taking up too much airtime, and she stopped being, like, she's still funny, but
she
was,
oh, she's so funny.
They were doing,
no, she is
they
still
were
funny.
Trotting out her same characters week in and week out.
Week in and week out. And Jay Farrow was sitting there with nothing to do, and that was my big bitch. You have this guy that's very talented. He's got a great stand-up act, which I've had a chance to catch. He's very funny, and you're leaving him floundering to get Kristen Wiig in another thing, and he has been in every skit. There's her as Ann Romney.
Yeah.
Her Ann Romney is hysterical.
I mean, she looks. The best part is that they show you.
Yeah. You got
the actual Ann Romney right there. Ellen, and she looks
just like
her.
Which, and her Ellen DeGeneres
her Ellen
was spot on.
Oh, so
you guys,
I love her.
Wait.
She's going to be a breakout star on SNL.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, you mentioned Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Oh, that's so sad.
That is sad.
Now, here's the thing, because I normally do not give a fuck about celebrities' personal lives.
I do.
And I don't care who's dating who.
I do.
Who breaks up with whom. What's going on. But lately, Amy Poehler and Will Arnett.
That broke my heart.
And now Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Now, I don't care about, because I think the term celebrity is, I mean, you got to use a lot of lotion to get that many people into one celebrity basket. That's good. Yeah. I'm going to drink on that one.
You should.
But
these are
real celebrities. I'm sorry. These are Emmy winners.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you can sit through It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is that the name of that show?
Yes.
I think I can.
Okay, you have two choices. You're either completely offended and want an exorcism, or you're laughing your ass off and want an exorcism. Like, you just know that something bad is happening on TV and you're watching it. He's brilliant, and she's one of the funniest women ever. And they're like little midget people. They're made out of fur. Well,
Danny DeVito isn't that fucking tall.
Do not
tall.
Lotion them. Though.
No, they're both. That's why I said they're both midgets. Do you not know what midget means?
I do.
A midget, Clayton.
Duke. My friend Duke.
Sometimes little people.
Oh, that's, he lived with you in the radio.
No,
it was easier to fit midgets.
Well, you had to lotion them.
That's how the ad read.
You had to lotion them up and cram them in the radio.
Exactly. Wow.
If you're not a midget, we're going to need to use lotion to get you into this box.
I had one more thing, and that's just a funny story I read. It's not meant to be funny, but it is.
Oh, okay.
And
like
that is,
show?
And it comes from surprise out of JFK Airport that there's a trend now of airline passengers using wheelchairs to cut in line. Because, you know,
I thought of this
years
ago.
It's like when you bring your dog on the light rail, they cannot question you.
Yes, I did not know that.
It's a service dog. If you ask for a wheelchair in the airport, they just have to give it to you.
Right.
They can't.
I'm going to start doing that.
Two things.
I need wheelchairs.
My dear friend Harrison, who may or may not have a mental illness, not all handicaps are visible. I got to tell you, okay,
good.
My story just went to 3 points. First off,
wow,
it's great.
Should we get an easel out?
Get yourself a pie chart. Follow this one. So, first off, I know you get a little
boner. He hears pie chart.
Just don't watch the lotion when he talks about pie charts.
Stop it.
So I'm on the subway. I'm on the subway, and I see a sign that says, "Please give up the seats for handicapped people." And remember, not all handicaps are visible. So I sat right down. And I played a good game of guess my fucking handicap, people. Because that sign says they're not all visible.
Yeah.
Second of all, Harrison got sick of like people at work taking days off for like their kids' fucked up shit. So Harrison got a picture of her niece, who kind of looks like her, and put it on her desk and said it was her kid because she didn't know anybody at this new job. And then she took days off whenever the kid had a play.
Oh, my God.
Whenever she wanted to call him sick, she'd be like, "Oh, the kid is sick." It was fantastic,
and I
can't wait to have a fake baby to do the same thing.
Do you want to use my baby?
Any baby will do.
Any
good.
Baby
babies
will
are
do.
Bald. We're all going to look
that
alike.
That is so much better.
And they're fat. I mean, come on. It's
that is
right
so
in.
Much better than pretending to have mental illness.
You can just use a younger picture of you.
Sure.
This
I had
my
a
baby.
Lot of
this
hair
is
and
my
a henna rinse.
Baby out. Baby LT.
So, I mean, it's perfect. But there was one more thing. What were you actually talking about?
The wheelchairs.
Oh, the wheelchair. Yeah. But Harrison has done this to get on airplanes faster.
People do that. This
remember,
is thing.
Not only did she cut you in line, but she killed you with their fucking
and
hand.
And there bag. Are certain... Apparently, there are certain...
This woman's a menace, clearly.
Apparently, there are certain flights. There are certain transcontinental flights where this is really a problem. And they start... Like, the staff starts referring to them as the miracle flights. Because what happens is all these people use wheelchairs to get on. And they position the wheelchairs at the destination because they're right. Like, oh, we need 9 wheelchairs. And they use up 2 of them at the end of the...
And everybody just like, me scroll the like,
well, I feel all better now. I don't need a wheelchair. Incidentally, years ago, my mom was flying home to here from North Carolina, which is where we're from. And her sister told the staff at the airport... This is when you could go all the way to the gate, obviously, with your friend. Oh, she's blind. She needs help getting on the plane.
Stop
and so
it.
My mom had no clue about this. And so they help her. They get her in a wheelchair and push her, get her in her seat, and right past everyone. My mom has no idea why. She's just loving it. She gets there. What does my mom do, of course? Opens up a book and starts reading. And everyone's like, I thought you were blind. And my mom's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Your mom's like, it's just this. It's a game we play. It's
just
a game we play.
You fed me the story, so now I have to do it. So years ago, when I first started going back to BS West in like the early 90s, I'm going home, and it was when you could bring people to the gate. And Heather, that works there now, we had been drinking at BS West.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shocker.
But Heather's not from BS, so she just ended up there.
Okay.
So we're drinking, and they take me to the airport for a flight home. Of course, I'm late to the thing. Everybody's bringing me to the gate. I have to run to the bathroom, and I beg the person to let me go to the bathroom. They're like, just fucking go to the bathroom and get back on the plane. While I'm in the bathroom, I don't know what goes on, but I'm trashed off my ass. Like, drunker people
danger.
Have rarely flown than I did that time. So I get my 3 seats. It's an overnight flight back when red eyes were still empty planes.
Love those.
I'm laying across my 3 seats and like 20 minutes in. Where's your baby?
What?
Oh my God, I got a fucking baby.
God.
So I lay back down and I fall asleep a little bit. Excuse me, where's your baby? What baby? I'm a gay guy. I do not
wait,
have a
baby.
Wait,
was there a brief second you thought, wait, where's my baby?
Was
there any point where you thought you did bring a baby?
Okay. No, never. I just thought, okay, everybody in the plane dropped acid. So as I'm getting ready to leave,
which
everyone's
seems
like
a much more likely.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Than you having a baby.
So like everyone is like, as I'm getting off the plane, aren't you with a baby? No, I do not have a baby. I'm a gay guy going traveling alone at Christmas. There's no babies on this plane. Like, what are you talking about? And I just think everyone's dropped acid. I walk out and my mom's at the gate and she looks at me and she's like, do you have a baby? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with people? While I was in the bathroom, Heather had taken traveling with baby stickers and put it on everything I owned, including my shirt.
Oh,
and I was so drunk, I never noticed it. She hugged me and put it across my shirt. She
on
had
your
it
luggage.
On my carry-on bag. Everything was covered with things that said traveling with baby. And I was so drunk, I never saw it.
Oh, my God.
But
I
pretty
her.
Much was painted head to toe with traveling with baby.
Instead of having an actual baby, you're drunk, passed out on your seats.
And they're thinking, this
seats.
Fucker lost a baby somewhere in the Phoenix
this guy's
airport.
An asshole.
I
hated you.
I am going to text Heather right now. I'm going to say, traveling with baby is all I'm going
to
say.
She'll remember. I'm going to do my list. So... We already did that. It's always the countdown to Argo. We are just 5 days away from the debut of Argo.
I listened to you last week. I cannot wait.
I don't know why this movie is so appealing to
me. I don't either because I don't like movies. And I know that's so horrible.
How do we find these fucking people?
These two will lose their fucking mind over that.
But I love... You know why I like movies and I don't want to hijack your list? But the
that's
new
okay.
Dine-In
Please,
Theater.
That's all I do, yeah.
The new Dine-In Theater...
No, don't get us started.
No, I have to because that is the...
Wait, 24th Street and Countback?
Kelly and I never used to go on dates because she's you guys would love her. She loves movies and she'll go and she would like stay all
night.
Why
isn't she
and
here?
Hop and
I was convinced.
Is she available?
She's much more fun.
Nice
I was convinced for the longest time Kelly didn't exist.
I know.
For years.
Still, people think. They're literally still... It's been like almost 7
years. I've only seen her once.
I think she also works
it's
at
been
a
almost
restaurant.
Yes.
If you know
7 years. And wow. There... I know.
Oh,
almost 7 years. And people who still don't... They think I'm just lying. I'm like a weird hermit. At home she is but she is but anyhow she would go movie theater to movie. She finally got me hooked when she told me you can drink beer at movie theater and I said I'm in
and you know, they get rid of what, children
do you
they,
feel people
yes,
have an alcohol issue
$3
I might clean.
It is $3 to get rid of kids
it's the only reason I'll go to the movie is to drink their beer
mm-hmm.
And okay, like so, pass out in a comfy chair
I know oh and if you go to the
that's it
the
cinema suites
cinema suites
no, all the way I don't do anything but cinema suites
I will
I am like a spoiled bitch at the the movies.
$6 extra to be in a
Oh my god!
Recliner.
I take a blanket and like comfy socks. Oh. Like I'm getting into my movie. Yeah. That is
wow.
it. And then I literally fall asleep halfway through, and I am so happy when I wake up and I've had a nap and it's dark.
And you can't see other people. My other favorite thing about the cinema suites is you can't see the other people enjoying the experience with you. Because they're so far away.
I don't even care about the movie.
But the closest people to me...
So far away.
But she was asleep. The lady next to me on a date...
And she didn't care.
No.
She was like, hells yes. This is like a nap. That is my time. That
nice.
Literally,
right.
I have a babysitter, and I'm going to drink beer, and I'm going to pass out, and it's going to be dark, and...
And somebody got to see a movie. So many dreams
Kelly
came
gets
true.
A movie, I get a nap. We are like
everybody's
happy.
I want to take my mom and show her the new theaters because she hasn't been to that.
It's
fantastic.
Amazing.
So I'm thinking maybe the Steel Magnolias release is going to be.
It's on Lifetime.
It's on Lifetime.
Oh, then fuck it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I just said I want to do that too. I don't know.
So you're not done having sex with the gorilla until the gorilla is done having sex with you. I just think that's the funniest thing I've heard in a long fucking time.
Where does that come from?
It's from Craig Ferguson. Just remember,
I record it every day, but I don't watch them all.
It's from his stand-up. He says, "You're not done having sex with the gorilla until the gorilla is done having
then
sex with
you." Then that actually is probably a true statement.
I would imagine.
I'm going to use that in my dating online.
Put
profile.
It on your Match.com.
Yep.
AKA Grindr.
Right.
And
exactly.
I had a girl walk up to me the other day and say, "I'm high on life and just a little bit of weed." And I'm like, "Oh my God,
that's my kind of girl."
That
and you're
makes
like,
me happy.
Sis, is that you?
And still going on college campusing, and this is my favorite thing in the world, butt chugging. Putting alcohol on your ass.
Yeah. That's just
still
a thing. Would you do that? Maybe not now.
No, not even
but
then.
But like then?
Not now.
No, but I'm the product of alcoholics. Like
uh-oh.
I admit this freely. My entire family is alcoholics.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying this in a bad way. Please take that judgy look off your face. Proud supporter.
Look at me going, oh.
But we drank early, so we have a very healthy relationship with alcohol. Like nobody does it in secret. Nobody's like sneaking drinks in
well,
the theater.
Well, that's a lie. Your mom was hiding booze in Vegas.
No, see, and this is a very important story about how you portray people that people have not met.
Ruth was hiding gin in Vegas.
Ruthie did, because she didn't want to be the drunk of the family, so she did throw my sister under the bus. But the point was...
Like a good drunk.
I've actually done that before.
Everybody in the story was drunk, and all the people that were judging were drunk. So really, it served no purpose. Like, there was nobody toting a Bible with tea in their hand, so there was no one to prove. Okay, Lady Gaga has a new perfume out, and I wish I could give credit to the comedian, but I didn't write it down, but they said the perfume smells slightly of blood and semen.
I heard that too.
I think that is so goddamn funny.
That's horrible.
That's bad.
Okay, Sally Fields, Gace.
Love that video!
Oh my god, she's so fabulous.
A mother is not something to lean on, it's to give you a reason not to have to lean or something. I'm paraphrasing poorly. What a great speech.
Amazing.
Fantastic
Everything
speech.
About that, vote Obama.
Tears. Side note, hashtag vote Obama.
Yeah.
Hashtag Obama 2012.
Everything about that I thought was brilliant.
You keep talking, I'm going to look up a segment for that. Go ahead.
Okay. Elizabeth Banks. Now I know what the Michelle Pfeiffer. The career of Elizabeth Banks, the most unexplainable woman in show business.
But she's a star.
I love her. I love her. But she is doing her own thing. She produced Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's not just the
Because she's one of the like commentators, right?
The color commentators.
Yeah, which was paying an homage to Fred Willard
from Best in Show, which is the best commentator.
Best
movie,
ever.
Best
and this was the same thing, but they were genuinely funny. It was not derivative. They had their own really good lines. And then I saw her name as a producer, and I had to comment because there was a big thing on IMBD this month. IMDb, because People Like Us, the movie, is coming out on video this week, and IMDb is very up in arms about this movie getting the shaft. Like, they think it should be an Oscar contention.
Because People Like Us is her and Paul Rudd. Isn't it pre... Whatever that movie they were a couple in. What was that Katherine Heigl movie?
Huh?
Oh, no, you're thinking of something different.
Oh, I have mental blanks on anything.
I don't think I am, actually.
You're thinking of...
What was that Katherine Heigl movie?
Not 40-Year-Old Virgin, but...
Katherine Heigl was the girl. She got pregnant. Knocked Up.
Knocked Up.
And this movie is actually... Because remember that girl...
No, People Like Us is with Michelle Pfeiffer and Chris Pine, right?
Yes.
Oh,
Michelle,
you're right.
Michelle Pfeiffer
movie.
And Chris Pine have a strange relationship. Chris Pine is trying to explore
it. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. And it's wonderful, but... And Michelle Pfeiffer is like...
You're thinking of Leslie Mann.
Yes, Leslie Mann.
I am, you're right.
Yes. I know them
yes,
all.
Yes,
and
thank
everybody
you.
Is trying, is the campaign has started for Michelle Pfeiffer for a supporting actress Oscar
okay,
for
I
people can
see
like
that.
Us, and they're saying that the movie was released poorly, and they're hoping that word of mouth from the DVD release. It's a great movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I never even
it.
Saw it.
And as an adopted person, I have to say, I found it.
I didn't know you were adopted.
Oh, I'm adopted, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't know either.
So I,
you could have broken that to me news to me a little softer.
I'm
I mean,
sorry.
Just come out with it.
I just throw it at people. So, but anyway, so it's good. So her career, I mean, she's in Hunger mm-hmm. Games, which I didn't really enjoy, but God bless her, right. She had a good part in it. So this woman's making money and kicking
now,
ass all over the place.
Now, isn't she also like a new, or unless it's one of her lookalikes, because there's many of them, on one of these like new CSI shows of some sort? Isn't
oh,
she
yeah.
now on there?
No, there's another lookalike. But she's on 30 Rock. She right. finished out Scrubs
well,
Run.
And that whole thing would like... It's kind of incestuous with Pitch Perfect because Kay Cannon was a writer for 30 Rock.
Right.
And she wrote Pitch Perfect.
So that was interesting. But so I'm all about the Elizabeth Perkins. But that's what with Michelle
Elizabeth
Pfeiffer.
Elizabeth Banks.
That's what Elizabeth yeah. Banks. Oh, that's what okay. with Michelle Pfeiffer means because
gotcha.
They're pushing her for an Oscar for this. And
interesting.
It's, you know, you can wait till the show is over, but then go rent People Like Us. It comes out today, I think it came
okay.
out on DVD. It's very well done and an interesting story about defining family, which I always love. Steel Magnolias was on Lifetime. I will do a little spoiler alert. Where they try to stick to the script, it fails quite a bit.
Wait, on which?
Steel Magnolias.
Oh.
It fails just because... And I said this because I saw it on Broadway. I saw the revival on Broadway with like a great cast, but you're just anticipating those lines, and those lines were delivered perfectly. And they kind of avoided making them trashy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but Shirley MacLaine is a white trash woman with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right.
And they weren't willing to do that with an African American cast.
But, what do you think? It's just a different personality,
yeah.
the persona.
But what they do well, what they do lotion their way into, and I'll give you a little hand gesture for that, is they get
Drink.
The drama of Steel Magnolias right, which I thought the original movie did poorly, because people always tell me they cry in Steel Magnolias. I'm like, it's a comedy. Yeah, somebody dies, but who gives a shit? You're too busy giggling.
Oh, no,
I
cried.
But in this one, the drama is first rate. They play off, the portrayal is realistic. The girl playing Shelby is fantastic. Queen Latifah is very good.
And she plays, which character is Queen Latifah?
Queen Latifah is Maylin. Is
Sally Field.
I'll give you real names. But
yeah, thank you.
But the daughter, Shelby, is actually being played by Felicia Rashad's
yes.
real daughter.
Oh.
And she's very good. The part of Annelle is back to the small part it was in the play. It's very, very good. I would still give it a good rating. It's just that I think Steel Magnolias is, I think Beaches. Like Beaches is.
It's a classic.
It's 2 hours of comedy with the 10 minutes of sad. Mm-hmm. And I very rarely cry because I find the movie so funny.
I cry.
Yeah, I do
every
too.
Every time.
But to me, Beaches is a comedy. Like I think it's a feel good comedy with a dead body.
Yes.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, there's a dead body in Beaches.
I did have my yeah.
They bury it in the beach.
I did have my tear ducts removed decades ago, so
oh.
I don't cry. But,
Stop it.
Oh, and you know what? I listen live to Q Talk now to hear mm-hmm. other shows, and an old show of ours was on, and you talk about it very early before your big admission to having no emotions. Somebody accuses you of like not, you're like, I don't have any emotions. Like,
oh.
So you spoiler alerted that one.
Yeah.
Was that his mother?
So, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is out.
I was going to post on your Facebook, but I'm like, why? He's going to get
yeah.
it.
Okay, Donna Summer is nominated for the fifth time. Pretty much everyone across the board has agreed that if they have to get Rush in, because the biggest bitch about the Hall of Fame for the last 10 years is that is why they have no credibility, is that Rush is not in the Hall
Rush.
Of Fame.
Yeah,
Rush got nominated for the first time. Donna Summer's on her fifth nomination, and they're thinking the dead body thing is maybe going to help Donna. But Elton John got Leon Russell in. Leon Russell was considered a very much an also ran in last year's nominations, but Elton John championed him and said, "You cannot have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without Leon Russell." So this year, his big cause is if Madonna, you can't have Madonna in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not have Donna Summer.
Yeah.
So that's Elton's cause.
I don't know what kind of chances they have, but I'm also great. I'm also like rooting for Hart because I love Hart.
No, I think Hart too, but the big problem with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is lack of rap and lack of women. And
okay.
I think they're going to correct themselves. They're going to course adjust. This is Hart's second nomination. Hart may have to wait a year, but from all the things that I read so far, Donna Summer's in, and they're kind of like, we should have got her in alive mm-hmm. because she's one of the best live performers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
So the live performance aspect, the first Rock and Roll Grammy Award, the fact that Bruce Springsteen wrote songs for her and all this stuff. So
I can't believe she hasn't gotten in five nominations.
Here's the heartbreak that I honestly cried a little bit when I heard this online, was because last year if she had gotten in, my plan has, I have a backup plan to go to Cleveland, or is it in Cleveland? To go and see her. And the one year that her and Madonna were nominated, I was like, oh my God, you're going to go. But of course, Madonna is the first person ever inducted that was still relevant, or not, but still performing, yeah, that didn't perform live because she lip syncs so much. So much of her is pre-recorded. What? She's the first person inducted.
This is for the Rock and Roll Hall.
Rock and Roll. She's the first person that didn't perform. Like, ABBA's no longer together, so they have an excuse to not perform. But Madonna's still touring. So for her to get into the
room,
and not
week.
Very well.
But so for Madonna to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not perform. So there could have been a year where Madonna and Donna Summer were nominated together, so everyone's up in arms. Mm-hmm. Honest to God, if you're going to put Madonna into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without Donna Summer,
it's bad news.
Right, because it's all about influences and all that stuff, so fuck them.
Madonna.
The next thing I had was Tim says hi to Katie, but we did that before the show.
Hi, Tim.
Right.
That's it, I'm done.
Oh, you're done? So have we gone around the whole thing?
Katie has a list.
No, I didn't. And actually, I have a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to ask you, Al, what was that quote you said about I'm high, but more on weed? Because I'm going to definitely try to use that.
I'm high on life, but a little bit of weed.
Also. Yeah,
it's this girl, I call her at work. Yeah.
All right.
Because my name sounds like Ow. And when I moved to Arizona, like in New York, my name sounds like ale, not beer. And in Arizona, my name sounds like Ow.
Okay.
I don't, so that sounds weird.
Yeah.
Okay, but I like that quote. I'm going to try to use that tomorrow.
She said that to me. Her name's
at work, actually. No, okay, so actually I want to ask you this question, Al. Yep. Because you were talking about Broadway a little while ago, and do I love theater? And I do. And Kelly and I were playing this game that was, if you had to see one show on Broadway between A and B, what would you select? And
that's my favorite game in the world.
Yes, no, it was really fun. And she was using like some of my all-time faves, and I have to admit, you know, and with all of the classics, like there are many, many, many classic Broadway shows, and I am a product of the 90s, and I Rent is probably my all-time favorite.
It's
Broadway
in my
show.
It's Buddy's favorite, probably in my top five.
It is, but it's probably not the one I would see because I've seen it 12
so
times.
Many times. Thank you. That's what I said. I've seen it so many times. I saw it for my 22nd, 3rd, doesn't matter, birthday at the Niederlander before the Niederlander closed down. It was like a really big deal. So gave me like all of these. She was saying between this and this and blah, blah, blah. It's all these things I have seen before. All over the world, I've had the good fortune of seeing some good theater. So what would you on Broadway today?
Okay.
See, if
because there's a show that's not on in Broadway anymore that would be the one for the entertainment value and the laughs and the mind-blowing brilliance is Urinetown.
Yes.
And it's not on Broadway anymore, unfortunately, but that just,
if you had never,
what a great experience.
If you had never seen it.
If you had never seen Urinetown, I thought you were going to give me A's and B's. What are my... Well, luckily I have a website all prepared. So
no, I'm not I'm sorry. I'm not giving you A's and B's.
Okay.
I set it up right as this really fun game, like this or that.
Okay.
But really, what I'm doing is it's very selfish because we want to take a trip and we want to go to New York and see theater.
Oh well,
and
okay.
Tell me
easy enough
what
I'm going
to
pick
see.
One that I haven't seen because you know that would be the one if I could see one, and that's obviously the Book of Mormon.
Oh, that's what I told her. Book of Mormon.
But it's harder to get,
and
not
you're
in the
going.
Summer. I've already seen it.
Oh, you went. I thought you were going next summer. Okay.
No, I saw it.
Oh, in New York you did.
Yeah, I did.
That's right.
I saw it on Broadway.
On Broadway.
If the opportunity is there, I would recommend that first. Now, I'm going to tell you that all of a sudden, and I don't know how this is possible, Who's Afraid of... Are you only musicals or are you straight plays as well?
No, I do straight plays. I've done some straight plays.
All right, there's nobody big in that, so I would miss that.
Oh, really?
No. I looked at something else. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is back on Broadway, but there's no big name, so I wouldn't
really
bother.
That's surprising. I would think they would, if they're going to revive it, it's going to be some
they
big
would
names.
Really make it.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan could play.
For your money, and because it's always on the half price booth, and you should
TKTS,
see it.
Love
you should,
it.
Yeah, you should see it. You should see it on Broadway. Chicago is probably the biggest bang for your buck. Absolutely.
So I've seen
possible.
Chicago, but you think like again now.
See it on Broadway.
Okay.
I always say there's shows that you should see non-compromising, and if there's a name above the title, if they're pushing like Brooke Shields in Chicago, walk away.
Yeah.
Like it's really? Gotta be, you want no names. You want people that are only talented.
God, I love Chicago.
If it's like Bonnie Franklin as Velma Kelly, don't.
No. Yeah, no.
don't.
Newsies the musical.
Oh my God, Newsies!
Newsies is spectacular. Newsies. I would pick Newsies. And I would.
I forgot that was on Broadway. Yeah. So I forgot that was out. So thank you.
I would do Newsies. I would do Peter and the Starcatcher is probably your second choice because you're not going to get tickets for Book of Mormon.
Wait, like legitimately, that's not happening.
No.
Listen back to an episode of what I had to do, including losing a kidney to see.
It involved lotion. I'm just going to say
that. Right?
So I would, those are my
scented
two.
Scented lotion.
I would see Chicago on the Cheap, unless there's a name above the title. I would see Newsies, and I would see, and I just said it, Peter and the Starcatcher. I think Peter and the Stars. Peter and the, and I have a rule. If you're going to New York, go see something that you can lord over people's head that they've never heard before.
What about Once? But you didn't see that.
Once already closed. Oh, no, Once is still open. Once is
Once.
Good, too.
Oh, my
Once
gosh, is you good guys too. Are giving me some good ones.
But I would see Peter and the Starcatcher first. I think that's a genius performance. The guy's in Smash. He's on Smash that's starring in it. He won a Tony.
Smash.
And it's like kind of the untold story of Peter Pan, and it's filled with joy and reverence.
Oh,
and
it
it's,
sounds so hard.
It really is. Mm. It really is. Like, my nipples are hard just talking about
Mine
it.
Mine,
like,
too.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. How can you tell with that dark shirt?
I can feel them get hard.
Got it. So,
my lotion.
So we've got your list, Katie's list. Buddy, did you...
Katie, do you have more on your list?
I do, but I feel like I'm getting a...
Well, we're getting a little wrap for this, but we do it in hour three. So if you've got something you want to talk about right this second, otherwise we need to wrap to get into
wrap
our final segment.
Wrap it
got
up.
It. Buddy?
No, I'm good.
You're I
good?
Love a woman that plays
well,
by rules.
What I wanted to play was a small excerpt, because we talked about it briefly, was Sally Field receiving her HRC Ally Award.
Brilliant.
Which was fantastic.
Love
I'm just going to play a tiny snippet of it. If you can, please log on, Google Sally Field receives HRC's Ally for Equality Award, and watch her entire speech. Her son introduces her. This is a tiny excerpt before we go into our segment we call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And then I'm here to thank you. Yes, to thank you for this award, but more than that, I want to thank all of you out there who have been brave enough to walk point and force change, to fight for the basic human rights that my son and my son's generations and the generations to follow will so greatly benefit from. He doesn't have to twist himself into a pretzel and pretend to be somebody he isn't, denying important parts of who he is. He doesn't have to give up his dreams of the future. He doesn't have to feel ashamed. You all have fought for him as surely as if you were one of his parents. You've changed and are changing the lives of little boys and girls who realize somewhere along the way they're just different from their other brothers and sisters. And so the fuck what?
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
So our question is, and we start with you because you're filling in with Marnie, who always goes first. We always make her go first because it makes her uncomfortable. But you seem to be ready for this. I mean, you actually were like, you took direction from this guy.
I feel like after your welcome, I need to talk in my bedroom.
It's like you're Delilah.
I'm ready.
Whatever happened to her?
Delilah. Nobody cares.
I care.
Love someone tonight.
It's half Delilah and half Lindsay Lohan introducing Tosh.0. That's my inspiration for that.
Anyway.
Okay, so our question today is, what do you think the difference is between what, like, how people see you and how you really are?
Good.
Yeah.
Was this sent in by a listener, or did you just come up with this on your own?
No, I just came up with it.
Okay, good. Wow.
So, first tell us what you think people, like, what people's perception of you is. Because I'm always curious as to, like...
Crack whore.
Right.
Oh, I'm talking about you, Katie.
You're like, no, don't be fooled. I'm absolutely talking about you. No, this is definitely you. By the way, can you pour me some more skinny girl?
Oh, sure. Can you just hand me your cup?
I mean, if you're going to call me a cracker, I'm going to make you work for it.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to do some crack.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That was actually in my list that we didn't get to, but okay.
That you're a crack whore?
No. Crack, though.
Confessions of a skinny / crack girl.
So,
what? I'm going to finish off a bottle of wine by myself and probably move on to skinny girl.
What, is that a shocker? No.
So, wait. What was the question again?
Okay, so, for the first part... One.
I'm not drunk. She is.
Yeah. That. I'm not drunk. That's dog hair. How? What? When you think about like how people see you, what do you think they? How do you think people perceive you? What do you think people's perception of you is? And how does it differ from what you think of yourself?
Well, doctor, now I almost can't stop.
Yeah.
Get this microphone away from me. Honestly, I feel okay. So, what I feel people perceive me as is this. You know, I'm kind of that person that whenever I'm anywhere, people will go, "Oh, Katie will do it. She'll jump up on stage. She'll do this. She'll say it. Just she'll do it." And I feel internally like oftentimes I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. And I go, and I'm like having a like mini like, but then I can't. I like will fake it until I make it. So right, when someone goes, "Oh, nobody wants to jump up on stage and say this. Well, Katie will do it." I'm like, "Well, fuck yeah, I'll do it." Even though, like, I don't want to do it.
Right, right.
I'll jump up and just do it. And do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think some people think I'm a lot more like maybe spontaneous than I would naturally be. But ultimately, I am that person because I do it every time. Like, I don't want to let anyone down. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting you say that because I mean, years ago when I ran bingo at Mary's when you were working at Hamburger Mary's. Mm-hmm. You were always the go-to person for a liner or something to do. You were always that person because that personality that you were the most personable server ever there. You didn't have an ass like Velasco, but you were the most personable. You were over the top.
We had so much fun.
We had a great time.
Does anyone have an ass like Velasco?
No. And by the way, he's like, single right now. I'm just letting you know that.
Right now.
Uh-oh.
Right now.
Danger.
Exactly. That could change with the bottle of lotion.
I gotta call him Scissor Leaf. Anyway, go.
No, I think... Do you know what's so interesting, Clayton, is I think I was more that person even before it started becoming expected. Right? So then when people start expecting that of you and you kind of go, "Oh my God, now I have to like perform."
Do you think part of that was, I know this only because I've known you, I think Buddy's probably known you about as long. Right. You weren't out. Mm-mm. You weren't out when you worked at Mary's. No. Was part of that personality that you, because you were that over the top person, was that a compensation for what you were hiding or were you, I don't know.
I don't think so. And honestly, I mean, my like kind of coming out story is so bizarre. And
it's a long story.
And it's different than other people's stories. I've actually gotten into arguments about it with friends before. It's
like you didn't do it right. You didn't.
Like I, yeah. No. Do you want to know, right? Like I didn't suffer, right? Like I didn't suffer through the pain and the turmoil of like being a young gay person who was like conflicted from the inside and devastated every day because I longed for the girl next to me in high school.
Uphill to school both ways in the snow.
I just slept with the guy next to me in high school. I don't know.
So I don't think I suffered through that. And I all of a sudden like I just no. So I don't feel like I was conflicted. I fell in love like unbeknownst even to myself. I completely now grant, I mean I wanted to have sex with girls for a long time, but then I fell in love with this woman and it was just easy and natural. And so no, I don't think that. I think it was I don't know.
Her vodka's kicking in.
We'll blame a skinny girl anytime you want to because she's a cunt.
But I think I am. I think that people perceive me as much more like crazy than maybe I think I am, but I live up to it because I don't ever want to be, I don't want to let people down from what they, you know what I, yeah, from what yeah. they think.
Interesting.
So I'll think about
and
that
I
next
made a note about something to ask you during, talk to you about during our third hour.
Our third hour.
Open the door about something.
Interesting, because I think about that. I'm reeling, kind of thinking about that, because you and I host the parade together, the Pride Parade here
See,
in Phoenix.
That's different. That I will do.
Is that because it's it's set?
No, I think it's like at the time that, okay, so if I'm somewhere and they go, "Who wants to be the first person on stage to karaoke?" I don't want to do the I don't want right. to be that person. But they go, "Katie will do it." And I'm like, "Sure."
Sure.
And then, you know, they'll go, "Who wants to be the first person to take a crack at this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course I'll do it.
Who's the first person to take their top off?"
And
it's you.
Actually, it has been. I've been invited to to never come back to the Clarendon on a few occasions.
You know, I want to have a little party at the Clarendon, but everybody I know has already been kicked out. Yeah.
They've actually asked me, didn't we ask you to not come back?
We'll use assumed names and go in. We'll use the Q-Talk America.
I've got like 8 or 9 wigs that we can use to get people in and out of the Clarendon.
And they all make you look like Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah. Well, just one very, very special wig.
One is
have
Mrs.
You seen,
Roper.
Have you seen my bio on the page?
No, but I'm find looking
my,
now.
Yeah, find my bio. That you'll understand the gist of it. All right, so Buddy Early?
This is really hard for me. A couple of things that immediately come to mind. I think
you took notes during
this. No, this was for something else.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of people think I'm an asshole.
I read what you... I wrote that on my list, too.
Hashtag duh.
A lot of people think I'm an asshole. And yeah. simultaneously standoffish, and while I don't think
I've
I am, oh a lot yeah, and I kind of actually do that on purpose a lot of times where I want people to think I'm
kind
standoffish
of a filter
because I don't want people to come up talking to me all the time. Right. But I'm totally not an asshole. And along the same line,
he says,
I think over the years,
I am not an asshole.
Says the asshole, right?
Right.
Over the years, I think a lot of people. No, I meant.
Yeah.
That's what an asshole would say. I'm not an asshole. Over the years, I think a lot of people in various stages of getting to know me want to try to make a good impression on me. Want to make an excuse for things or be like, oh, buddy, I want you to know this is like I'm judging them. And that's what I think people think that I judge a lot of people. And I think maybe I used to. And not like we do, not like when we judge, oh girl, look at her, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, like really judging
fun.
People.
Right.
And over the years, I've
don't
gotten so, just I'm old and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Before the show, somebody called me, someone that I'm not great friends with, but friendly with. And he was telling me about a situation going on with his life. He's like, I know you probably heard this and this is what's going on and blah, blah, blah. And I just want you to know. And I'm like, look. All of you are adults involved in this situation. You know the ramifications of what you're doing, and it really doesn't concern me. He's like, well, I want to tell you what. I'm like, I don't even want to know. It's none of my business.
Right.
Just know that whatever you're doing is fine with me as long as you're okay with it. Fine. I don't care to know the drama of this or be involved in it in any way. And so that's where I come from in almost any situation, but I still find that people are always trying to – make a good impression on me for one reason or another, like I would judge them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm really the complete opposite. Now I will judge someone for, you know, being a hot mess on in a drag show or something, you know.
As you should.
Line.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I do too. Everyone
it's only
should.
Fair.
But, no, but I people think I'm judging them, but they have the wrong thing that I'm judging them
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm judging them on superficial things usually, where they think I'm judging their character and morals, and I'm like, no, you can do whatever you want. You're
you just
adult.
Don't look good in that dress.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And that's a true story.
Yeah.
And I don't care that you have a thin nipple. I just wouldn't wear that dress.
And, you know, a lot of times I just tell people, oh, no, I won't judge people. I will talk about you. In a negative way, but it's not judging necessarily. It's just making fun
I
of
think
you.
Judging is super fun.
It is, but you see the difference I'm getting at with judging on superficial things and judging someone's character or their state of being or what they're doing in their life. And
I do
really
that too, actually.
That really. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I used to, and I'm just over all that. Like, and a lot of that is just drama. I'm over any kind of drama. Don't involve me. Don't share.
Well, the worst part is that now people put it on their Facebook page. Stop it.
I don't
and you
get
just want to like.
And I just like, whatever. Don't involve me. Don't try to get me involved. Don't tell me the latest. Yeah. I really don't care.
And if I do put something high drama on my Facebook page, like a day later, I'm always like, oh, dear Jesus. When I sober up, I'm like,
daily.
Just get rid of that. Like
before you're 86 from another bar.
Yeah, that is. No, before I 86 another bar for my life.
Exactly.
Clayton McKee. Is that how I pronounce your name? I'm always so confused.
According to the website, yes. I think a lot of people have a perception of me, and I feel like I've answered this question before, and maybe it's just in various interviews.
In various ways, yeah.
But I think people have a perception of me that I am a conceited, self-righteous, egotistical, blah,
and that's
blah,
what
blah,
makes
blah.
The thing different because now you have to admit what you think people think of you. Like we've asked this question a different way, but now you have to actually like say out loud.
No,
what...
but I think that's how a lot of people think of me. The funny thing is, everywhere I go, I don't know if it's because it's just the way I conduct myself or the way I dress or whatever. Everybody thinks that I'm the owner or the manager of every venue I go into. I don't know why that is. I know,
that's not a bad thing.
It's because no, but it's funny because.
How does point one relate to point two? Because point two I kind of get, but point one like I'm more interested in.
Which one's point one?
Well, you started off with like all these horrible things that you thought people thought about you, but then point two was like.
I think that's the perception. A lot of people think they look at how I dress or how I look, and they think that I am this self-centered, egotistical, yada, 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 yada person. Now, granted, I in this community, at least in the Phoenix, Arizona community, I have built myself up, no fault of my own. I host a lot of events. I'm always in the mix of a lot of things. So yes, I'm very present, and I have made my name is known, and my presence is known. When I walk into somewhere, somebody knows something's going on. So that's all well and good. But what people, and they think that I am unapproachable. I'm self-centered, conceited, all that stuff. But you all know because
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put any of the words to you.
No, like, no, but I do hear that all the time.
I would see.
So do you think that's why they're destroying your bike outside of Charlie's 5 days a week?
No. I think that's just because some meth addict that wants to have a fist fight with a stop sign is fucking with me.
Oh my god,
no,
meth rampant, right. Running rampant. But
does he use lotion for anything?
But could apparently. But what the reality is what you all know. I really would prefer to spend the entire day in cargo shorts in my workshop working on vacuums or bikes or lawnmowers because that's all I do.
Drinking Bellinis.
Oh, I do enjoy the Bellinis.
Oregano.
We haven't been to Oregano's in a long time.
We should probably do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go talk about ourselves at Oregano's.
We could do that. We could also get those at Bar One. Either way.
No, it's they cool. Do one?
They're not the same. But
they
I'll
do
yes,
Bellinis?
They do.
Okay.
But no, I think the difference is that people don't realize that I am very... I'm a simple... I grew up on a farm. I'm from Missouri. I like simple... I really do like simple things. But like Buddy said in reference to Virgos, I'm very black and white. I can't deal with gray. Yeah. It's either on or off. The sky is blue or it's black. I mean, you know, it's very simple in regards to that. But I think a lot of people don't realize that about me. The fact that Katie June walked in here tonight and didn't realize that I built that wall, this wall that's right here that separates these two rooms. She's like, you did that? I'm like, yeah, I do that. That's what I do. So I think people don't realize that I'm...
That you're not a listener. That's
multifaceted.
What we
learned.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Faceted.
I do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And now let's turn it back to you, Mr. Perkins.
I think everyone thinks I'm much meaner than I really am.
Well, listen to this fucking show.
Actually, right. Yes. I've actually hung out with you a few times and I've gathered that. Actually. Yeah.
But then I think as you get to know me, you realize I'm just kidding. Like, I'm...
JK.
Yeah, like, I honestly am just trying to make myself laugh. If anybody comes with me for the ride... And I think when people catch on to the joke of, like, I'm just always looking to giggle at something. Like, there's nothing too horrible. There's nothing that bad that I can't make a joke at. So it might come across as mean, and we've had this problem with... I don't know. I can't say that. it's a live show.
Yes.
But, yeah. But they're like, I just like to poke a little fun and try to like, where can we get a laugh out of this? Like,
that's fun.
Like, I think
you're so much fun because of that.
Yeah. And, but sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. But people take it as meanness at first until they're like, oh, he's not really being a bitch. He's just trying to get like,
he's just funny.
Yeah. He's just trying and not funny to anybody else, but to me. Like, I honestly, if you find me funny, that's just because you have the same sense of humor as me, because I'm only looking for myself.
Or you're on the same meds.
Yeah. The only audience I'm ever trying to please with my sense of humor is me. Like, I really have no interest in other people.
Oh, I love it. But I'm nice, but fuck all y'all.
Exactly.
I never want to say that I'm nice, but I'm polite. And that's the one thing that I always cling to is that I give a please and a thank you when appropriate. But I really think that people think I'm being meaner than I am. Like, just play along. You'll get it in a minute. Like, I'm just fucking around with you.
Just right. Hang in there.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get it. You'll get it soon because I'm going to be the next target. Like, if you're target number one, I'm either target number two or target number three.
Get yourself some Ultimate Vodka and he'll blend in. You'll be fine. Everything will work out.
So
exactly.
And if we can, and the other thing is the sky could be any one of 17 different colors, but we're going to pick that fucking color before we move on.
I like it.
Like, and that's where I come from. Like, somebody's going to decide on the color and then we can move on.
Oh,
you did beautifully.
You did. Katie June. Let's hear for Katie June. Yeah. Bless her heart.
Thank you.
Very nice.
One clap. Hey, you guys, this is fun. You're fun.
Well, at least sometimes. So, can we get a commitment out of you for next week or
totes.
No? Oh,
totes.
My God.
Totes. My totes.
She'll buy more vodka. She'll be here. It'll be good.
I'll actually bring a bottle.
And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix her bike, and then she's going to ride with me here.
That's exciting. Yeah, I have a bike.
We have another bike fixing.
Yes! Part of the bike gang.
I'm excited. Well, now that I know he can build whole walls.
Yes, I can fix your fucking bike. It's all right. All right, it's the show with Clinton
McKee. I was
pointing
at my bike there, but you can't see it.
Right. It's...
Studio A is dark.
Studio B, Tuesdays. We are coming live to you from there. My name is Clayton McKee with Buddy Early, Katie June, and Al Perkins. We'll see you on the other side because Hour 3 starts now.
And he's going to download it, I think.